Order, will everybody please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance? Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here all today. Please be with everybody in this room and in our city. Please be with our military. Please be with our emergency services. Please guide our meeting tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The city of Corby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce.
Here.
Councilmember Grant. Councilmember Wilson.
Here.
Councilmember
Albrecht?
Here.
Councilmember Acevedo?
Here.
Mayor
Pro Tem Lehman?
Here.
Here. Councilmember Grant did call to inform us he would not be here tonight. Item 5, citizens participation, Mr. Steve Limscombe, regarding the NISD.
Thank you, Mayor Pierce and council members. Just wanted to come to you just very, very briefly about construction that's going on within the city of Kirby and the surrounding area as well. Just so you know kind of what's going on within that end of the district. Some of the new construction that we have, Escondido Elementary School, right now the construction is about 78% complete overall. The planned completion of that project is sometime this upcoming summer. Hopkins Elementary School, you may have been seeing an awful lot of work going on over there, mostly re-roofing project there. Only expansion joint caps and ridge caps remain to be completed over the classroom wings. The installation of the metal roof for the library and the cafeteria areas has begun, and all built-up roofs are complete, so the project is about 90% complete at this point. Kirby Middle School renovations, you don't really see just an awful lot of activity going on there right now. It's mostly kind of the behind-the-scenes work. The project is in what we call construction documents phase and is moving into about a 60% completion of that phase. That's where you where the work drawings are being made, specifications are determined, and bidding documents are actually being drawn up. So that is moving along as well, but it's mostly background type of work being done. And lastly, we wanted to invite you to the dedication of the Hopkins Elementary School plaque that is marking that's 50 years of service to students in the community. You may recall maybe a couple of weeks ago we had a ceremony out there, but we actually have the plaque that's going to be there on the school, and we were going to be dedicating that. And we also wanted to invite all the council members within the city to be able to come. That is May 25th at 8:30 in the morning, and it should be about a 30 to 40 minute service. So I appreciate your time very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Raul Martinez, regarding waste disposal, would you like to wait for the agenda item?
We'll go ahead.
Okay. All right, Chief Alfaro.
Madam Mayor and Council, I would personally like to thank y'all for all y'all have done for the fire department, for helping out with the fundraising picnic. Madam Mayor, especially you, Councilman Aldridge, with all your help with the signage, we couldn't have done it without you. Mr. Pierce, same thing, appreciate your input. Mr. Lehman, appreciate your input on everything the past year. Look forward to working with you guys after maybe the next month or so, have another round table, but I personally in the fire department wanted to say thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Chief.
All right, item 6, consideration and action on the minutes of special meeting minutes, April 26th, and public hearing regular meeting minutes of April 26th. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the meetings, I'd like to make a motion to accept the minutes for the special meeting and the public hearing on April 26th, 2018.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Aldridge, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Lehman, to accept the meeting minutes of special meeting minutes April 26th and the public hearing and regular meeting minutes of April 26th. Is there any further discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand. You have one abstain. Item 7, proclamation and certificates presented to the Wagner Bowling Team. At this time, I will ask our bowlers and our coaches to please come to the front.
Need help?
Young ladies and gentlemen did an excellent job this year during their competition, and we wanted to recognize them for not only their team accomplishments but their individual accomplishments as well. And of course, with every program, there's also adults that have a huge part in their success, and so we will also recognize them as well. Whereas the Jetson Independent School District has had a strong tradition of athletic programs and has always enjoyed the support of all their alumni, fans, family, student body, faculty, and from across the community. And whereas the Karen Wagner High School Thunderbird Boys and Girls Bowling Team during their 2017-2018 season has experienced the highs and lows of competition but has always stayed strong with determination, sportsmanship, and pride. And whereas team members consider themselves to be more than just a team and refer to themselves affectionately as family. And whereas the Karen Wagner High School Thunderbird Boys Bowling Team are the Northeast District 1 champions, placed second in regionals, and finished 12th in the Texas State Finals, as well as winning individual team member accomplishments. And whereas the Karen Wagner High School Thunderbird Girls Bowling Team finished 4th in district, as well as winning individual team member accomplishments. And whereas coaches Melissa Wool, Teresa Wiley, and Banner Bradshaw provided many hours of encouragement, reassurance, and direction to these young ladies and gentlemen, and we recognize these coaches and the entire team for their outstanding performances during their competitive season. And whereas the City of Kirby is very proud of these young ladies and gentlemen for the professional manner they represented Karen Wagner High School and the Jetson Independent School District community, in which they showed great respect for their coaches, opposing players, and fans. Their love of the game, their determination in practice, and their unrelenting effort have made them the winners they are today. Now, therefore, I, Mayor Lisa B. Pierce, on behalf of the City Council and citizens of the City of Kirby, do hereby issue this proclamation to the Karen Wagner Thunderbird Boys and Girls Bowling Teams in recognition of their successful individual as well as team accomplishments, and we extend our sincere congratulations to each of them. Although they're not here. finished top 40 in Texas state singles and all district teams. Taylor Wiley, fourth in district singles, regional singles champion, finished top 40 in Texas state singles and all district teams. Hannah Donnan, fourth in district singles, finished 15th in the state of Texas. Item 7B, introduction of new employees. Are new employees here? Yes, okay.
Good evening. I'd like to take a moment to introduce one of our newest dispatchers. This is Mr. Tyler Andrews. He is coming to us from a big background in customer service and call center work. He's not worked as an emergency dispatcher before, but he's got all that background experience that we look for with a new dispatcher. He actually hasn't started with us yet. His first day will be on the 30th. So we're still last couple of minute, things that we need for the state to get them licensed and start that for T-Cole. So we're real happy to have them get some relief for the ladies down in dispatch and look forward to bringing them on.
Sure, it won't take you long.
Yeah.
We'll have you trained in no time with all the calls coming in.
Eager, determined. I'm
we're happy to have you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Chief Alfaro.
I would have brought my employee, but she's actually finishing up paramedic school right now. It's her last day. So I will bring her at a subsequent meeting. But Nye, they call her Nye. Her nickname is Nye Romero. She's a paramedic student. She is a firefighter. She has a bachelor's degree in biology with a minor in chemistry. And she's pretty good. She's a really good girl. So I'll bring her so you guys can meet her next time. She may be a little late, but
if she does show up, if you'll let me know, then I'll make sure
absolutely
that we bring her up. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
Item 8A, discussion and consideration of report on the general election returns and results of the general election held May 5th, 2018 for the purpose of electing a general special election to elect 3 council members for a 2-year term and 1 council member for a 1-year term on the city council and the issuance of general obligation bonds. I will turn this over to Ms. Jo Harvey.
Hi, my name is Emma Jo Harvey, and I was the presiding judge over the joint general special bond election. And the grand total for city council member John W. Pierce had 131 votes. Council member Jerry Lehman had 130 votes. Council member Sylvia Leos Apodaca, sorry, had 144 votes. On the special election of Councilmember Deborah Wilson, she had 180 votes. The special bond election had 489 against 43. There were a total of 194 voters. 65 of them were early voters, 55 were election day voters, and 74 were mail-in voters.
Thank you. Item 8B, discussion and possible action on resolution number R-2018-701, canvassing the returns and declaring the results of the general special election. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I move that that we accept a resolution number R-2018-701, canvassing the returns and declaring the results of the general special election.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Councilmember Aldridge, to accept resolution number R-2018-701. Is there any discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Yes.
Councilmember Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Item 8C, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-840, canvassing bond election returns. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the possible action on ordinance O-2018-840, canvassing bond election returns.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Aldridge, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Lehman, to accept ordinance number O-2018-840, canvassing bond election returns. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Ordinance number O-2018-840 has passed. Item 8D, presentation of certificates of election to newly elected officials. I will turn this over to Patty. Administration of oath of office to the newly elected official. Go back to Chief Alfaro so he can make his presentation of our introduction of our new employee.
She made it. Nyla Romero. We're looking forward to working with her. She's looking forward to working with us. She can help us tremendously. We're very proud of her with her paramedic studies. Hopefully get her on the ambulance plenty of experience. It's a good place to do it. So we look forward to having her. Nyla Romero.
Great. Thank you. Welcome.
Welcome.
Item 8F, discussion and possible action to elect a mayor pro tem for the term May 2018-May 2019.
Mayor, I make a motion we nominate Kim Aldridge for mayor pro tem.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to elect Councilmember Aldridge to mayor pro tem for the term May 2018 to 2019. Any discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Aldridge?
Abstain.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor
Layman? Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Okay. Congratulations.
Thank
Mayor
you.
Item 8G, discussion and possible action on a request to have the property located at CB 5865 Lot E, 180 feet of south 60 foot of north 90 foot of 12, otherwise known as 4814 Gibbsprawl Road, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned commercial, office and retail C1, to continue to be used as a residential R1 property, including consideration of ordinance number O-2018-837, amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Kirby, Texas, to grant specific use permit number 2018-008 for use of the property at 4814 Gibbsprawl Road, Kirby, Texas, for a single-family residence. This is the second reading. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion we accept the second reading for property on 4814 Gibbsprawl Road, Kirby, Texas 78219. Be zoned as a residential for the time frame that we allow. For special permit number 2018-008.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept action on ordinance number O-2018-837. Is there any further discussion?
That's a house that's already, somebody's living in it?
Yes, sir. At 4814 Gibbsprawl Road. Any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Item 8H, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-833, repealing ordinance number 91-474 and adopting ordinance number O-2018-833 of the Code of Ordinances of the City of Kirby, which prohibits scavenging within the corporate limits and providing for a penalty. This is the second reading. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the possible action of ordinance number O-2018-833, repealing ordinance 9-474 and adopting ordinance number O-2018-833 of the Code of Ordinance of the City of Kirby, which prohibits scavenging within corporate limits and providing for a penalty.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to accept ordinance number O-2018-833. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Yes. Ordinance number O-2018-833 passes for the second reading. Item 8I, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-834, repealing and replacing ordinance number O-2001-572 and adopting a new administrative fee scheduled for police department services. This is the second reading. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I move that we accept the motion repealing 0-218-834 and replacing the ordinance number 0-2001-572 and adopting a new administration fee schedule for the police department.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept ordinance number O-2018-834. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Lacka?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Ordinance number O-2018-834 passes for the second reading. Item 8J, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-835, repealing and replacing Chapter 74 of the Code of Ordinances and adopting a new Chapter 74 authorizing police officers to impound a motor vehicle found to be in violation of certain city ordinances or state laws to establish the City of Kirby impound lot, to establish storage fees, to provide for the imposition of fees, and providing for severability and an effective date. This is the second reading. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the possible action on ordinance number O-2018-835, repealing and replacing Chapter 74 of the Code of Ordinance and adopting a new Chapter 74 authorizing police officers to impound a motor vehicle found to be in violation of certain city ordinances or state laws, to establish the City of Kirby impound lot, to establish storage fees, to provide for the imposition of fees, and providing for severability and an effective date.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to accept ordinance number O-2018-835. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Ordinance number O-2018-835 passes for this second reading. Item 8K, discussion and possible action on the Gibbs Sprawl Road repairs.
Would you? Yes. Okay, so we do have a but let me just give some background on this item first. As we know, they're putting their business at the corner of Gibbs Sprawl and FF78, and so the portion of Gibbs Sprawl that's in the Kirby city limits from the traffic light at 78 to behind park construction before you go into the railroad tracks needs to be repaired. And so they have obtained a cost estimate, and they are proposing to use construction company that they already have that's going to be working on the project to kind of obtain a better price. And they're asking for cost sharing from the city. Now, if we would like to do a cost sharing on this project, we do have a line item in our streets fund. It's currently budgeted at $65,000, and that comes from the House bill that authorizes us to take a percentage of taxes to go toward street maintenance projects. Now, we have not used any of those funds this year. To date, we've only collected about $27,000. The money is still coming in. So that's a number that you have to work with, about $27,000, if you did want to do a cost sharing on this project. So I'll let JD come up if he wants to add anything to that.
Sure. Thank you. My name is JD Dudley. I'm a real estate project manager for Quick Trip. Before I start, I just want to say again, I've probably said it a few times up here, how big of a fresh breath of air it is to come in and deal with staff members and city members and people that we have dealt with in the city. Rich reached out to me a few months ago about Keep Kirby Beautiful and asked me to be vice chair. We said we'll be ingrained in the community, and my phone rang. And he asked me to be vice chair and treasurer. We joined. We've already participated in a community cleanup. So we are trying to ingrain ourselves, and that's really what we're trying to do, not just in Kirby, but San Antonio and everywhere. The contractor we are using, I will say, we are using a contractor, and the reason we are trying to go this way is because we're going to get a considerable price break. We saw a need. It's not necessarily a demand. QuickTrip's still coming. Whether this goes one way or the other, we're still starting construction on the 21st of this month, and we're still going to open December 3rd. So really, we just saw an opportunity and a need, and really an opportunity for a private-public partnership where we can partner together and fix something that's already, you know, kind of an issue. There is a precedent for this. In other areas of the city. And in San Antonio, we for example, Lakefront in 87, there was a HOA sign. We were already zoned. Our building permits were pulled, but we went out to the site and realized the HOA sign needed to be repaired. We didn't need anything from them. They didn't need anything from us, but we reached out to them and we put the money into it, and we're going to rebuild their sign. So we're going to rebuild the lakeside. My boss is very giving. He's a very good man. And he looks for opportunities like this where we could fix a common problem. With that said, we're not here asking for a handout of a full payment of $44,000. The bid came in about $43,300. We were looking to split it 50-50. We felt that that was fair. And to touch back on the contractor, yes, we may not be using a contractor out of Kirby, but we are using one out of San Antonio. So even though our company is based out of Oklahoma, we're using local contractors, subcontractors, people from the area. And that's from engineers all the way through. And with that, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions, comments, or concerns you have.
A question that I'd like to ask.
Yes,
the
sir.
The area that you're going to fix, that's just down to the end of y'all's property line.
Yes, sir. So what it will actually do, it will benefit not only us, our competitor, but that entire area that queues along. It's about 500 linear feet that wraps from 78 all the way back behind our property. So we'd be proposing to do that entire strip from 78 all the way to that back property line. It's approximately 500 feet.
Okay. My concern was, and my question that I brought up, was if we're going to fix that much of it, is there a way that we could work together to fix the rest of it on down to where the city of San Antonio has repaved their part? That way, that whole strip then would be completely redone, and that portion of it is almost just as bad as the section at the curve.
Agreed. So as far as the scope of work, that's definitely something. I doubt they would be opposed to doing more, but the financial portion, of course, I'd have to discuss that. I know what we were willing to split for the portion. Essentially, the portion that we're doing goes into 78 and then goes past our driveway. So we're actually improving more than what we would need for the QT development. So anything above and beyond that, I would have to go back to the drawing board and talk to them.
I guess just to be clear, where exactly does it stop behind?
How about a picture? It'd be a lot easier to see. Yep.
It's because everybody's watching you.
I figured that. That's why. I just tried to hold my breath.
Like that Mervyn's commercial.
Yeah, right.
Open, open.
Okay, so this is probably the best way I could show you.
Going to be
I could probably throw a rock
at the at the line because it goes to the end of theirs.
Their part, I guess about a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. They did the drainage and then they paved up to their property line.
I know it's not far because we're in the process of adopting 78, and it's not much further. That cleanup's like that 2 mile strip, and I think it stops almost right at our at the end of our property.
concern is, you know, that
it's all the way there. So there's from the house. There's just a small piece because it's forceful from the.
This is 7B down here.
So it's from the light all the way past.
Yeah, that's about to the property line there. So there's just a little bitty piece. I'm sorry.
You got.
Or just that little bitty piece from there down to where San Antonio has redone there.
It's San Antonio in that area, so I don't know.
Yeah. So, you know, that's my concern. If we're going to do that, why can't we find some way of doing that small little section? I don't know how much it is, a couple hundred feet.
Well, that's something we can discuss later. Right now we're discussing this on that.
That would be our responsibility. They're proposing to go from that little piece of it, so that might be something. Since we're using their contractor, is there anything that we have to do as far as the city, as far as the proposals?
It's under 50,000.
We just need to get a cost estimate for that piece,
right,
of it. Maybe they just give us one, and we'll revise it and give us the entire amount.
I just didn't know if we had to bid it out. If we're...
All amount.
Right, okay.
And I would even be comfortable to say if the motion was we approve it contingent upon the road improvements extending to San Antonio and Quitcher being capped at 25,000. I think if we want to do something like that, I think I can
that's
agree
cool,
to
that's
that today.
I mean, I'm all for any time that somebody's willing to go in with us. I mean, it's just like a grant. Anything that we use, matching grants, we clearly need to fix Gibbs Sprawl. And any time there's somebody willing to help us, I mean, I don't see, you know, why.
Include both lanes.
Correct. Yes. So it is both lanes. And to your point, I know it helps our neighbor, but also helps the curb appeal that corner.
Yes.
And so we're talking about getting highest and best use and redevelopment in that area.
Yeah.
It's way a lot more inviting. So I think it would be aesthetically a lot more pleasing. But it's just something we kind of feel like if there's power poles at the intersection that we're cleaning up that have nothing to do with our development, that where they just chopped them, they chopped the top off, and we're cleaning all of that up. So the billboard is coming down. So we're trying to really set the tone for that entire development. June 1st, hopefully. If not, I'll get my truck out there and we'll take it down.
So. The way I understand it, this is more of a topping that's going to go over that.
Yeah, well, yes, sir. So we actually looked at a couple different options. So we did get a cost estimate in at $33,000, but the gentleman that provided it to us said, I don't recommend this. He said, I recommend this option where it was a 1.5-inch mill overlay. Obviously, the best thing to do is tear it all out and replace it, but then you're talking hundreds of thousands as opposed to just doing. So it was an adequate fix, what was proposed, to where we're comfortable putting money in it because we feel like we're going to get bang for our buck.
Mark, do you have any input in this?
I think it's a council decision. There is a maximum that the council can spend without competitive bidding on this kind of a project. So the number I heard 26,000 from this gentleman and 25,000 a minute ago as being 50% of 52,000. Without knowing what this additional work might cost, I think the idea of whatever the council does puts a cap on it in the $25,000, $26,000 range would be acceptable.
The proposal was $43,500.
Correct.
So,
and we're splitting that.
Correct. So if we do contingent that we don't go any further than $25,000, is that the amount?
The whole project is $50,000. We have to bid it out. Correct.
No, we're talking about expenditures of public money. So the 25 would work. 25 would be a reasonable cap. He just clarified that the bid he has now is just under 44. I thought he had said it was 52.
So it would be 21,750 if we went past. And then if the city put in a couple more thousand, you're just saying not to exceed 25,000, we'd be okay.
Yes, ma'am.
And again, if you guys wanted to increase the scope, like we talked about, QuickTrip will go up from that 22,000 to 25, if that's what you guys want, to improve the entirety.
I mean, our goal is to fix our streets and to get those, and again, if we have a partner that's willing to do that, I think we need to look at all of those avenues.
Well, I believe once you cross the intersection and come into downtown, there's already a bond that's going to come in place to improve that portion, right? So, I mean, it would be cohesive, and you'd have a continuous stretch of road that's been improved. So I think
it would be
a good opportunity.
Yes. All right. I will entertain a motion and based on specifics, we would need to put that cap of 25. All right. So if somebody would like to make a motion with the cap amount, if that is the direction that y'all want to go.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the possible action on the Gibbs Sprawl Road repairs with the 25,000 cap on the road repairs.
Second. All right, we have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by
Apodaca.
Councilmember Apodaca to not to exceed $25,000 for the Gibbs Sprawl Road.
I think what's important here, I think, is to make it clear that the $25,000 cap applies if the work that to be done will take the improvements to the boundary between Kirby and the city of San Antonio. If not, the $25,000 cap gives them more than they've asked for, because they asked for 50% of 44. So if you could perhaps amend the motion to simply say the Gibbs Sprawl Road repairs that would go to the boundary between Kirby and San Antonio on Gibbs Sprawl as well, then the $25,000 cap language would accomplish the desired purpose.
Mayor, I'd like to amend my motion to accept the Gibbs Sprawl Road repairs with the cap of $25,000 to extend to the city limits of San Antonio.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge. Seconded by Councilmember Apodaca. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Councilmember
Layman?
Yes.
Councilmember
Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Thank you. Look forward to that. So will we be able to have that information? How soon would you be able to have that information? Okay, so can we have that come back on our next council agenda then? Thank you. Item 8L, discussion and possible action to consider a proposal from Ford Engineering on additional services for the Benzingman Road construction project. Our favorite thing. We have Mark from Ford Engineering.
Good evening, Council and Mayor. The proposal is to provide for funding for quality assurance testing, which is required from our AFA agreement with TxDOT and the state in order to construct Benzingelman. So this is primarily for geotechnical testing of concrete that's being laid and for asphalt.
Did we know on this agreement when we started this construction way back when that the geological testing and stuff was going to have to be performed?
We did, and if you recall, I brought this to your attention last year. I believe it was in October, November, that this would be coming up.
So then that was in the original scope bid that you presented the city of Kirby then, too. Was that not included?
It was not in our original scope, no. And the reason we don't include material testing in our original scope is at the time, we're not aware of how much testing is going to be required. So until we have plans that are signed and sealed and approved by TxDOT, we can't provide an adequate number.
Is there a chance that it will go over this amount? The amount is $30,791, is that correct?
There is a chance, yes.
What is that chance? Like, why? What would cause it to have to be more?
I'll give you an example on our Kirby Friendship Park. Testing went over, and that was because TxDOT came back and added some additional items that had to be tested. Handrail had to be tested for holiday testing on the pavement because it was supposed to be galvanized. And this was not included in our original quality assurance program. It was something additional that the inspector brought up at the time. If there's something that's out of scope such as that, we'll bring it back to the council or to the city manager as we did before. If there's something that's within scope that goes over, the cost will not be passed on to the city.
They'd like to share?
No, I mean, it's just a big permit. It has to be done because it'll be a funded project, so testing is required.
But it wasn't based in the first and middle package by the engineers or the construction company or anybody of that nature either?
No. Okay. The original proposal was like to begin in 2015.
Because when the engineer puts their submittal package or all the plans laid out, the contractors that are looking at the job go to the engineering house firms or whatever, and they pull all that stuff. And so I'm saying, so none of this was ever included in the submittal package that was put together for the Benzing One project way back when. Is that what you said?
Submittal package, the engineering or the construction submittal package?
Well, you're going to have, would it not be about both? Because it should be in the engineering package and it should be in the construction package, should it not?
With
being based off of knowing what TxDOT's going to be applying to certain roads and everything else, you would take that off as the engineers
right.
firm should know what they're
the way in. The MPO works is that they separate the design from the construction and engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And so their funding is separated completely. So we can't put this testing onto the contractor. It has to be provided separately.
So do we know usually how long? I mean, if we go with this and how soon would we know that, oh, by the way, TxDOT has something else or somebody else has something else that we have to test? Or would it be after the project's completed and then all of the punch list and those kinds of things?
If it was the last item, it was the handrails, it was the very last item we had to add to the, it was in the construction documents, it was in the design, it was the last thing, and TxDOT came back and said, oh, you need to test this. It wasn't included in our QAP that we submitted to TxDOT and got approved, so it was a little bit of a surprise. So at this point, we've gone through that. We don't believe there'll be additional at this time. But hopefully, we caught anything that they brought up last time. So
my concern is it's just almost $31,000 that we're adding back in on the money that we're already spending for that project.
Yes, sir.
And then there's still a possibility of more money that the City of Kirby is going to have to spend additionally on that project.
Yes, sir.
Our budget's only so big.
I completely understand.
Yep.
When you do the AFA, the funding agreement with TxDOT, one of the last pages, it shows their estimated cost for construction services. If you go back and look at that, we're still well under what they estimated the city would have to pay for construction services. I understand it is an additional cost, but it is not the additional cost that it could be. From what they estimated based on the cost of the project.
Yeah, because they're showing $29,471. Laboratory, soils, concrete, asphalt, and you have your construction services.
Yes, sir.
Is there any further discussion? I will entertain a motion. And please include the dollar amount.
How much is it?
$30,791.
Mayor, I move that we accept the proposal from Ford Engineering on additional services for the Ben Zingelman Road construction project of $30,791.
We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson.
Second.
Seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge to accept the proposal from Ford Engineering on additional services for the Ben Zingelman Road reconstruction project in the amount of $30,791. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Opadaka?
Yes.
Councilmember Layman?
Yes.
Yes.
Mayor Pierce.
Yes. Thank you, Mark. Item 8M, discussion and possible action on garbage collection by Republic Services on Kirby Heights. Mr. Martinez, would you like to speak on this now?
Is there a representative of Republic?
There's two. I was like, I know I saw one.
You can go ahead and I'll go ahead so I can listen to what they have to say.
Okay. Would you like to intro this, please? Okay.
So I guess about a month ago, it was brought to our attention that we were having a challenge with the garbage collection for commercial garbage collection on Kirby Heights. And everybody knows Kirby Heights is a real narrow street right off of Gibbs Sprawl Road. We have some residential properties on one side of the street, and then you have a commercial property on the other side. There's a vacant restaurant building on the corner, and then there's a mobile home park. And so it's my understanding that in previous years, to service this area, the trucks would have to go in and turn around to get out. And at this point, the property owners decided they trucks could no longer turn around on their property. And so the only way for the trucks to get out would be to back out onto Gibbs Sprawl Road, which creates safety hazards because of the street. So we had a meeting with the property owners and with the public to try to see what we could do to resolve the issue. We were not able to come to a resolution at that time, which is why I propose that we bring it to council, because we have a couple of things that we need to consider. The biggest issue is that the city has a responsibility to provide the residential garbage service on the one side of the street. We have no obligation to provide commercial garbage collection. That is the commercial property owner's responsibility to make that happen. And so at this point, you know, we really need to come up with a solution for our portion, and then we'd like to be able to work it out so that it resolves it for everybody involved. I was told that as of April 9th, the commercial services were no longer being billed because Republic had not serviced those dumpsters for the commercial park on April 9th. So we got a credit back on our bill and we weren't passing that on to the customer. I did have some photos from a couple of days ago where the garbage was overflowing, but then as of this morning, I noticed that they have been emptied. So I'm not sure.
Did Republic
who emptied
pick
those?
Did Republic
so
pick them up?
I reached out to them and they said no, they did not empty those.
That's on the commercial property, is it not?
It is.
Okay.
We do have an exclusive contract with Republic, so commercial property owners are required to use Republic for their service in our city. So if an outside contractor came in and serviced them, that's a different issue that we actually wouldn't allow without council making special provisions.
So on the, as far as the residential, there are, I believe, four houses. Is that correct? So what is happening with those houses at this moment?
Do y'all want to explain what you've done? I know. I'm sorry.
No garbage pickup.
No garbage pickup. Now, I know that one suggestion, we, you know, just in talking to the drivers, they come in every day and check in with us. They had asked, you know, could we ask the customers to roll the cans to the corner? We said no. That's an inconvenience for the residents. That was not an option. I think they did come out in a pickup truck one day and service it for them, but there has been no consistent garbage service there for about a month.
Is Republic backing up on the residential or on the commercial side?
They were turning around on the commercial property.
All right.
And to, the only way to service the residential would be to pull in and then to pull out. And it's on Gibbs Sprawl from Kirby Heights to Gibbs Sprawl that would be the problem and dangerous for not only their driver but also the traffic that's coming that way.
There are a lot of pedestrians in that area as well. And you know, there are no sidewalks there, so that really is a safety issue.
Well, is Madam, a fire truck, when they go to back up or anything else, they have to have, usually the engineer is the driver, passenger gets out, they stay in constant communication while that vehicle backs up. That's a mandatory thing that they've got in place. So that's, I was just curious. I mean, I know it's still inconvenience, but we're providing a service. Commercial property, that's on them. Residential, that would be something for us to consider. So I'm trying to figure out, I mean, I know the truck, I've seen the truck and the trailer that hauls around the trash cans for repairs and whatnot and everything else. I mean, it's going to be, it's inconveniencing us and it's also inconveniencing Republic.
I'm mostly concerned with the residents that are sitting, those four houses, I believe.
And I don't know if maybe Republic, if it would be an option for those residents, if your truck, if those drivers would get out and annually service those.
The last thing, first off, I'd like to say thank you for having us again. We like to come here when you're saying that, giving us an award and not doing this, but thank
Terry,
y'all for having us. But
will you introduce yourself just
a second? I'm Terry Gavin. This is Tom Armstrong.
I'm Tom Armstrong.
And this has been, like you said, about a month going on. There's no way in the world we're not going to try and help this lady and the residents on that street, along with the commercial people. We'd love to help them all. And we've been servicing for such a long time. We've been back into Rolls property. I ain't lying about that. And I appreciate him allowing us for that time. But when he said stop, we had to stop. And when he said stop, I stopped. And I also stopped billing. I don't know how we bill the city for the commercial stuff 3 months in arrears. So it may take a while for it to adjust out to him. But we have not been charging for
what. Let's stop with the commercial part. So what are we going to do for the residents? So those four residents.
Answer on that on Monday. Let me wrestle that, but I will take care of them. I'll commit to that, but I will take care of it.
And our residents, are they're not being billed at this moment?
They are being billed.
Because that's, to me, a problem as well. If we're not...
summary billed, and it's kind of complicated to suck the way it's done.
Mr. Mayor, can I make a suggestion? I agree with y'all. I wouldn't back that truck out on Gibbs Sprawl Road either. But let me make a suggestion. The day that y'all pick up on Kirby Heights, y'all make a point that y'all are going to pick up Kirby Heights at, say, 9 o'clock in the morning. And that is the day that you got to pick up their garbage at 9 o'clock. Have one of your men follow the garbage truck over there in a pickup. Let him park. Let the garbage truck go on down the street and pick up the garbage cans. He can back up to Gibbs Sprawl Road. He stops. Your man gets out and directs the traffic on Gibbs Sprawl Road to let that truck get out of there. Once he's out and gone, then your man gets back in his pickup and goes wherever y'all tell him to go to. To me, that seemed like it would be a pretty easy solution.
The majority of ours are one-man trucks, but to send another man be a different ballgame. But another thing that we're doing, for years, we've been trying to help the city with your roads and stuff like that. So we've been sending a special truck. It's called a commercial side load truck. And there's not many companies even own them in San Antonio. We own them. And we're sending that to pick up one man's can in the city 3 days a week. So that one truck is whipping in the city 3 days a week to pick up one account. The pricing matrix for that side load service is not even in our contract. I need to put a stop to that. And he needs to go back to, if he's going to utilize commercial service, go back to commercial service that's in the contract, which
is
front load.
Where is he located at?
Kirby Heights.
Oh, okay, so we're still talking about Kirby Heights. Okay.
Trying to help him for a number of years, and the number of years we've been sent a special truck just for that account.
Okay, but that's commercial.
Yeah, the first thing we want to address is the residents.
I want the residents. I want to know how we're resolving the residents right now, because commercial, it's their responsibility, but as a city, it's our responsibility for residents. And if they're being charged, regardless of how it's being charged, and they're not getting the service that the entire other resident population is, that's not right.
The only thing I can think of, and I'm not an engineer, but is there anything we can do at the dead end portion of that street where we could make some improvements there, where we could turn our truck around? Would the city work with us on that?
I'm thinking also, we come here, other cities into contract, we come here once a week to repair carts and report in to do all repairs. For Kirby, we come twice a week. And I'm thinking on that day, maybe the cart people can come swap out for these three homes.
Oh. So Ivan is coming out in a pickup truck.
He's coming out 2 days a week already.
That's a great idea that I haven't thought of. So Ivan comes out. What days does he come out, Patty?
Thursdays and Friday.
So what we could do, since Ivan comes out in a pickup truck.
Can y'all hear what he's saying?
He comes out in a pickup truck. He gets a list of any broken carts from Patty, and then he goes out and he repairs those. We could see if on that day he could go in his pickup truck and pick up those residents on Kirby Heights.
He has a trailer with him also.
That's what I was talking about. That's what I was saying.
That's
not a commercial vehicle. He brings... We'll just say four residents. We'll just say there's six trash cans that they use on that site. So he brings an extra six.
I never thought of that.
Drops it, loads it up, you know, changes out, gives them the new empty one, and then he can do his turnaround.
I want to compliment our consultant right here who helped me out. I was playing off that.
Yeah, I thought it was your idea.
That was his idea of listening, though.
But that's what I'm saying.
You still have to back out of...
No, you wouldn't have to.
No.
We can turn the pickup around.
Yeah.
A truck and a...
He's just in a regular...
Tandem should be a tandem actual trailer. I think that's what I've seen Ivan run around in.
So, when they come out with the garbage cans to replace them, he turns around in the trailer park.
He won't drive around in the trailer park.
He won't drive on that property.
He can't turn around in the what?
He's going to be
in the pickup. He's not going to be in the trash truck.
He won't drive on that property anymore.
He'll have to offload.
Every time he comes down our road to put the new cans out, he turns in the trailer
box. We'll talk to him about it.
That's what I'm saying. The road is narrow. He can't turn with that trailer.
He can do it. I can do it. He can do it.
The question is on...
If not, we'll drop the trailer off.
Well, the commercial side over there, their complaint is the weight of the vehicle. Is it not?
It's asphalt.
They're complaining about damage to their property, period. And that is true. They are specifically saying that the vehicles on their property are causing damage.
Well, we can always go in and look at eminent domain at the end of that street right there with that dead end street. May turn it into a cul-de-sac. But that's what I'm saying, too. You're talking about eminent domain. We're going to have to then take over and give fair market, less than fair market value on something like that to change it and solve the problem for everybody.
Okay, so hold on. So we have our residents situated. So that.
Which of those days do you want to use so we can notify those residents? Of Friday?
I want to talk. We need to talk to Kenny, our operations manager, but I don't see any reason why we can't do it on our. If Ivan comes out here on Thursday, we can just keep it.
So what happened to their trash today?
They will be serviced tomorrow. Today's Thursday. I'll have them picked up tomorrow.
We'll send a pickup out there and get it.
Okay, so our four...
Is that someone that will recycle? Because the recycle hasn't been picked up.
What is your current dump date?
Thursday.
It'll remain that day, wouldn't it?
And recycling is every other Thursday.
Yeah. Patty says he comes out on Thursdays and Fridays.
Tuesdays and Fridays.
So he's not out here on Thursday.
No.
So it would have to be one of those.
Right, that's why I'm asking which of those days would it be?
Probably Friday, but I do want to verify with
tomorrow. I'll send somebody.
I just want to make sure that tomorrow that those residents that are on that street, that their trash is picked up and the recycles.
Yes, ma'am.
Are picked up tomorrow.
I'm good with
that. I want to make sure that before 5 p.m. that their stuff is taken care of and that they're not having to deal with a situation that has nothing to do with them.
I'm good with that.
All right, so tomorrow it'll be Friday, but please get back with the city staff to make sure that we know which day so that the city staff can reach out to those residents and let them know for sure what day that is. All right, so residents are taken care of. Y'all will pick it up in a truck. There will be no vehicle from Republic going in anybody's commercial property. It will remain on the city street. Y'all are confident that that part will be done?
If they won't let us, so
right,
we
that's
don't
what I'm
have
saying.
A choice.
So I just want to make sure so that everybody's in understanding. All right, so residents are taken care of. Now commercial. Now, will you please make the touch base on the commercial contract, that piece of it?
Right, so we have an exclusive contract. Well, there's a clause in our contract that allows Republic to have exclusive pickup for commercial contracts in Kirby.
Okay.
And so the property owners at this point, and like I said, the commercial property owners have said the public cannot turn around on their property, therefore they have not serviced their dumpsters since April the 9th, is my understanding. So at this point, you know, the city would have to make a decision, are we going to allow them to work with a different contractor? Are we going to require that dumpster be removed? Because again, if it was overflowing and there's trash all over the street, that's a health and safety issue for us. But I did notice this morning that the one dumpster had been serviced. And so if the public didn't service it.
I think we need to find out who that is.
Well, yes. I want to check our GPS. I called our operations supervisor to ask if we serviced it, and she said, I don't see any reason why we would have because it's been taken off route. But I don't know 100% that that's the case. We could have had a swing driver, and he saw it, and he went and got it. But that's the location Terry's talking about where we send a special truck into Kirby for that one can. So a driver would have had to come from another part of town just to get that one can. So I doubt that, but I can check. We have FleetMind where it pings the GPS and I can tell if we were there and lifted that can.
Okay, so on that subject, if we're not picking it up, if Republic's not picking it up, then how is there a dumpster there that's being utilized anyway? If y'all aren't charging.
Well, we haven't given the order to remove the dumpster, and I did not do that because I wanted to wait until this meeting.
Okay.
Because if it's no longer being charged, then we have the right to ask for public to remove the dumpster, they'll come out and get it. But then again, you know, if that affects the mobile homes that are there or the business that are there, so they would need to provide proper service to their tenants. And again, our contract doesn't allow them to use another contractor to do that.
But if they use another contractor, won't they be in the exact same situation as what's going on with the Republic?
I would think so. Yeah. Somebody would still, I mean, just the way the street is made, somebody would still.
But although that piece, as far as contractually not utilizing another garbage service, contractually they're not being charged for that service based on the contract anyway. Because as I believe you said, as of April 9th, those charges had stopped. Was that correct?
Correct.
So what was proposed to the city for the city to do?
Well, we had a request from the property owners that the city pay to pave a spot that the trucks could turn around on that would be damaged.
On the commercial property. Not on city property, but
commercial
the city
property.
Pay funds to... For a commercial.
We can't do that. We cannot spend city funds on private property without it being for a, what's the term, Mark?
Public purpose.
Public purpose. So
eminent domain.
We'll
just take it over.
Yes, the general public, that serves a private purpose.
I personally am also not in favor of spending money to make a pad or whatever in order for
the public to
move about for a specific use that's not benefiting
the rest.
I don't know. I was about to say, Mr. Martinez, did you want to?
Well, eminent domain.
No, I'm just going out there because that's just a very bad term to have to come to in order to get the residents taken care of. You're a commercial property owner. That's your property.
Right.
Just like their houses are.
Right.
Or a municipality. Your commercial property is inside the municipality of the city of Kirby. So how those things plan out and work, we're liable. We have code ordinances and everything else. So we're trying to stay within the boundaries of everything that we have to make sure the residents of Kirby are taken care of.
So how did the do y'all know how the trash went away?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
Good evening, everyone. I'm glad we're here tonight to see if we can solve this situation. First of all, the trash on our property.
I didn't get your name.
I'm sorry.
I did not get your name.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Vinny Bellotto. I'm one of the owners of Kirby Mobile Home and RV Park on 102 Kirby Heights.
And you're also on the Planning and Zoning Board, too, are you not?
No.
No, sir, I'm not. No, sir.
Mr. Martinez is. Ah, here we go. Okay, thank you.
Okay. The dumpster has not been serviced. The last time they serviced it was on April 2nd, okay? So they service it three times a week. On that next Wednesday, it wasn't serviced. I called the city. They said, oh, let me find out, because they didn't know nothing about it. So the company never let the city know that they weren't going to service the container, right? And I also mentioned that we had a problem because they were turning around and it damaged the property. Now, let me point out that for 18 years or 19, we never had any problems before. Okay, we never had any problems. And I also want to mention that the safety is the most priority, you know, whether it be for the policemen, the firemen, first responders, that's why there's OSHA, and I'm all for safety first, okay? You know, there should be, and then the other thing is that they have an exclusive right. Kirby is a franchise. That means, from my understanding, that we cannot go and talk to another company to have service from them. I don't know. I think that's my understanding.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Okay. Well, I think if you gave us a waiver and let us do that, we could probably solve this problem for the commercial side of it. But like I said, for all those years, we never had a problem. And then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, we have this problem, this issue going on. You know, basically, as far as concerned, you know, they didn't notify no one. You know, I have a responsibility to my tenants. Okay, I'm not going to let the trash build up over there because I'm not a slumlord. Okay, if I wanted this issue resolved, you know, I could have just let the garbage build up, you know, piles and piles. And, you know, the residents were already threatened to call the news. You'd have the state health department come out here. And I'm sure
the property owner of that commercial property. So if they came out here, it wouldn't be on the city of Kirby. It would be on you being a property owner.
No, but, okay, I understand that. You know, the bill has been paid. The bill has been paid regularly. Okay, it's been paid, but the contractor has not come through. Okay, so,
So, let me, which one of y'all is talking?
Okay,
so, you're saying that Republic came out three times a week,
correct?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they stopped without notification.
Correct.
So, Terry, why did y'all stop?
He called.
Wait, who is he?
He called City Hall.
Okay,
City,
Mr. Bellotto
called? I called him.
Mr. Bellotto. Okay.
And I called him and he said, come out here and do the asphalt. In 2016, you had spiderweb tracks and it rained and it went into asphalt. And y'all got a swing driver back up and it made it bad, so I want a bunch of money. And historically, we service a lot of commercial accounts. All we need is access. We want a service. You need access to it.
Wait, hold on. Okay, so you called City Hall, asked Miss Terry to call you, right?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
no, no,
to,
I,
Two years ago, this is when we had the problem, the damage that occurred to the property. It's been 2 years.
Okay, so this is 2000, we're going back to 2016, right?
Yeah, May 2016.
Okay.
Okay. At that time, in May, I notified the city. I notified Patty, and she sent out emails to the company. And about a week or two later, a representative came out. A lady and another gentleman came out with her to look at the property. They said that we'll be back in touch. Never heard from them again. A few months went by. You know, once in a while I'd be here, you know, at the meetings, and Patty would ask me if I heard anything. I said, no, I haven't heard anything. Okay, let me send out another email. Another email went out, and this happened maybe about 3 or 4 times. No responses at all. So just recently, last month, because before we had a meeting here, and I met Mr. Armstrong here personally at one of the meetings, and I explained to him the situation. He says, okay, let me send out an email and try to get this resolved. Okay, so he did, and then Mr. Terry called me. And mind you, this is 2 years later. This is in this last past month. So he called me, left me a message. I called him back, and he was going to go look at the property. And I said, okay, well, I'll be glad to meet you, or, you know, just get back with me, whatever. But I never heard from him, and, you know, I didn't hear from him. I know they're busy and everything. And then I guess we, because we weren't being serviced anymore, after April 2nd, I notified the city saying that we didn't have any service. The garbage was building up. And that's when the city manager decided to have a meeting. So we all met, all four of us met, went to the property. And at the meeting, Mr. Terry said, well, we're just not going to service your property anymore. That's the first time I heard that they weren't going to service my property. It's like a company going on strike, you know? I mean, a big company like that, public company, trades on the New York Stock Exchange. I mean, come on, you know, they got personnel, they got real kinds of resources. We could figure out, I'm sure they can come up with a solution. But, you know, the problem is that our hands are tied. We can't get another company to come in. You know, they have an exclusive. So we came out at the meeting, and I said, well, maybe when the truck comes down, maybe they can back up into one of the residences on the approach, concrete approach, and kind of make like a 3-point turn where you kind of go back out. So he said, okay, well, let's go look at it. So we went, and he said, well, no, it's not going to work. So I said, well, maybe in the front, maybe we can do something over there. So it was left open like that. We were going to try and get the city manager to come out that day to try to kind of, you know, look over the situation. But the bottom line is, if the company and the city will give us a waiver, and I think Mr. Martinez was probably would concur with that, that we can try and get our own company to service the to do the work.
So how would that company pick up trash without getting on your property?
They're able to do it. I spoke to somebody else already, and they said they can do it either, you know, with a 3-point turn, or if they have to go back and forth without going onto the property. They can do it, is what I was told.
Okay, so now
you can do it, Terry. I don't know why y'all can't do it.
So who? Okay, so but he says that Republic stopped servicing them without notice. So why? Right.
Months ago when he called me about it.
That's what I'm saying. So what made you guys stop servicing? What was it that was said or done?
Servicing it when Raul said you can no longer back up on my property. I had to honor what the man said.
Okay, so that was the point at which Republic said I'm not servicing it. And then at that point, you called them?
City Hall at that point.
Do you all have recollection?
That was while we went and skipped that meeting.
Okay.
And this talk of waiver and stuff like that, and talk of other garbage companies, there's a lot more than just servicing his account that we do here. There's a whole lot more than just servicing his account. Part of the whole proposal that we do is assumptions of commercial businesses, residential businesses, and their donations and services we provide. that are different than just stop their expense account. There's a lot of amount of waiting to go in there. So maybe this person that's going to give waivers, they don't help on his brush pickup or bulk or nothing like that. It's pretty complicated. So that's not an option. The option is, in my opinion, is if I want to trim your trees or tree service, let me get on your property and do it. If I want to dump your trash, give me access to dump it. That's all I want to do. I do want to dump your trash, but every place in San Antonio provides enclosures. They have places where dumpsters sit. We've been seeing a special truck, this time to dump his can in the city, driving one truck 306 times a year on your property, on your asphalt. We don't want to do that anymore. We want fair for the citizens, and being fair to the citizens is making him whole and giving us access.
So, and Mr. Bella, you had made a comment. You said that all these years it hadn't happened. So what changed as far as...
Well, I think the gentleman is mistaken because I didn't call. I didn't call regarding that. My concern through the years has been that the truck drivers, they cut across from 78 through my parking lot to get to Kirby Heights. They take a left going into the...
And you're talking through the restaurant?
Through the restaurant, through the back of the restaurant. And that's been my concern. But I did not call the company. 6 years ago, I had it out with BFI because they tore. They tore the asphalt where I had the container. So after a couple of phone calls and they disregarded, I went ahead and fixed my own driveway, and I ordered a side loader because they recommended for me to get a side loader if I didn't want for them to come with their heavy truck into the asphalt because they damaged it real bad, and I have utility pipes going in through there. And that BFI was the one who said, get yourself a side loader and avoid the problem in the future. And that's what I've done. And we've had it like that for years. And the only reason why I say I didn't call you is because that restaurant has been vacant for over 6 months. You know, but my concern has always been those heavy trucks. In fact, I just put signs up there, no vehicles over 2.5 tons. Because, I mean, those parking lots, they're not designed for heavy equipment. They're not. Right now, we don't have one in the restaurant.
No, I know you don't have one in the restaurant, but the photos that we have from a lot of dumpster work, they were overflowing. I guess they were in service. Did you service them?
It's been overflowing for over a month. I've been taking care of it. Everything that was on the ground, I've been taking care of it. Not every day, but, you know, like maybe every other day or at least 3 times a week. I've been taking care of it, coming in with a trailer and have it disposing of it. Now, the stuff that was in the dumpster, I mean, it's hard to get it out of there. But to answer your question, what's today? Thursday. Wednesday, the can was serviced. It was serviced. Now, I don't know who serviced it, but it was serviced.
Mr. Velotto, what is it prohibiting the commercial property owners to move to have their receptacle moved to a more convenient place on their property to where Republic can access it?
Well, wherever it's located, I mean, I understand their point. They have to turn around. There's no question about that. They have to turn around, and backing out is an issue. I realize that. So they do have to turn around. My suggestion was that, you know, like you do a 3-point turn, maybe you might, you know, if there's a 6-point turn or whatever, you know, just like you're trying to pull in or out of a tight parking space, that maybe there's a way to do it. Or maybe other companies have shorter trucks because they told me that they can service it. Either way on there, and years ago, they told me to put the can over there, build a little pad, and do a side load. And that's where it's been all those years, you know.
Now, when we had our meeting, I proposed the option of us putting the can on FM 78. Now, what was our reason as to why that's not a good option?
The house that I think you own, you own that residence there?
Terry, can you speak in the microphone?
microphone to make sure everybody can hear you.
On that street that you own, correct?
Yes, sir. He's talking about one of the residents that I have, and I believe that that's the one where we talked about it. Said, well, you can back up, you know, onto that driveway where the approach is. The approach is made out of a concrete, but from there, inside the property is asphalt. But he has suggested, he said, they still was too tight for them to do the turn.
That's not what I said. I said it's about this much of concrete, maybe 8 foot or so at the most. And I said, what's going to happen if my truck rolls the tire over that?
And but he you're said, still talking about on Kirby Heights.
Yeah.
My question is, on FM 78, what prohibits us from moving the containers to the FM 78 side so the trucks can just go down 78 and keep going straight? There'd be no backing up, no turning around.
It's tight over there too. Even myself going in there with a pickup truck, I mean, it's just tough to turn around. I mean, there isn't really a lot of room. I mean, that's why years ago when that property was asphalted, we put the pad over there with a side load. And I mean, that's the way when Sydney was here back then years ago, that's the way it was designed, and we never had any problems all those years. But
well, I think, you know, we've got the residential, we've got a resolution for the residents. I would like to make the suggestion for the commercial properties to move their receptacles to the FM 78 side, to where Republic, even though you may say it's tight, if you say it's tight, then that's Republic's problem. So they can get on 78, empty the receptacles, and keep trucking.
How many are there? Is it just this one?
It's one right now, and then I guess if Mr. Martinez...
Once the restaurant rents. But, you know, if I may suggest, you know, traffic in FM 78 is terrible right now. You know, Gibbs Sprawl has also got a lot of traffic. And I would recommend, if it comes to this, I would recommend that truck to be backing up, because it's got to back up somehow, somewhere. And Kirby Heights is not the only street here in Kirby where this is happening, where the trucks have to be backing up. It's not. This afternoon over on Edlin, the same thing happened on that dead end. I mean, poor driver, he was doing the side load, and then he would drive a little, get off, come around in front of the truck, get the container from the other side of the road, bring it over, load it up with his lift, and then he still had to back up. You know, that was on Edlin. So it's not the only situation that we have at hand. But, you know, for the big vehicles to come in from 78 to unload, for one, I wouldn't have the space to put a dumpster on there. I would have to go onto the easement. You know, that's one of the things. Plus the fact, I think, what was recommended on backing up behind that thrift store, what was that, 12 feet by 30 feet? That was recommended some time ago for the truck backing up, or...
We don't have to back up or dig up and dig, like if traffic's coming this way out, we don't want to pull this way to dig it up either. To be head on with them, with both lights blinding each other. And then we need to address, like I said, we are sending one truck, a special truck, today to dig up this account 306 times a year.
But that's between you and...
No, that's something I would like to be clarified with the council is it's not in our contract to have side loader trucks. He mentioned that there are different types of trucks. They weigh exactly the same as a front loader truck. You have pricing in your contract for front loader trucks. We would like to honor that, keep that. Not send a special truck here for that.
Okay, so if council were to decide to allow these particular property owners a waiver to get a different contractor, would Republic be okay?
I don't think it would. I think Republic would have a problem with that because it's not just these two accounts that are involved.
It would be just those two. I'm asking about just those two. Because we have to come up with a resolution, because at this point, I cannot allow the dumpsters to continue to overflow. That's a health and safety issue. I'm going to have it removed.
If they're not being charged, it's going to be removed. I would like it to be removed. If it's not, I mean, if it's not being serviced by Republic, there is absolutely no reason, and they're not being billed, there is absolutely no reason that that dumpster is sitting there inviting people to dump trash that isn't going to be dumped anyway. I mean, it's ridiculous that it's still sitting there.
Monique, on the waiver, I think we should go back to our management and see if it's a possibility. Terry and I can't make that call. We'll look at it. I mean, I think whoever services it next is going to have the exact same problem.
So I'm saying you guys are bringing out a commercial side load service truck that you talk about coming out for this one area right here. So we release it. I mean, there's not very much of a problem there unless you're servicing the rest of the customers for a commercial here in Kirby with that same truck. And you've already stated that that truck's only being used for this one area.
It certainly hasn't shot on ADS 3717.
Edlin.
Yeah, it's a narrow street too. But mm-hmm. Anyhow, is that fair to Republic to do that, or is it fair to Republic to have the customer make that happen?
I wouldn't approve to
what's the mayor's
I wouldn't. Opens up a can.
There has to be a level of compromise. So if you feel like you know it's cost prohibitive, or you have this one truck come and serve it, you wouldn't have that problem anymore if.
Well, not only that, but that wouldn't even be an issue had this issue not come up. That wouldn't even been mentioned to you, by you if this situation wouldn't have come up.
That's fine. You're kind and helpful to the customers and the commercial people by bringing that truck to help out.
But now that there's an issue,
now we want them to comply with like other commercial customers.
And that's what I'm saying. So it's a tit for a tat. I mean, that's exactly what this is. And it's not going to happen here. I mean, we need to figure out the commercial properties, and that need to happen. But that receptacle needs to be moved. And I mean, at this point, I think it's possible action on garbage collection for them. It doesn't have anything to do about a waiver. So I mean, that's not something we can do tonight here. So I don't know.
My question is, even if we gave a waiver and you got another company, those side loader trucks that pick up those dumpsters like that, the side loader is always on the right hand side, isn't it?
That would be, yeah.
Okay. If that truck comes down that street, he's going to have to turn around someplace to pick up your trash because that dumpster's on the right side of his truck.
Mr.
So
Velado,
he's going to turn around. He's going to pull into your property and turn around.
He was saying that he would do a three-point turn, that he would just be up and back and never go on their property. It would be in the street or potentially at a residential, in front of a residential house is what he was saying.
I'm saying if that company can do it, Republic can do it. I'm sorry.
I'll tell you one thing, because I've seen Republic, when they pick up the dumpster, empty the dumpster, and they want to turn around, they go all the way, and they have kissed two trailers already that I saw. They just came about this close to the trailer. They go all the way up into the trailer park, and try to, so then they back up to go out. They do it on our, when they pick up our garbage, too. They'll do that.
So residents are taken care of. At this point, we're not going to be able to fix this situation. I believe that you said that there was a request that the city pay for an end or something. I'm not in favor of that.
So, did we have the residential issue resolved? The only thing we can do at this point is we remove the dumpster.
So, what are the business owners going to do then without trash pickup?
Yeah. That
issue still remains. I mean, if they found someone that's going to service them, then I think that they should be allowed to go elsewhere for services. If Republic can't do it, they should be able to go somewhere else. And
has
I know
to
that's
be
not
a, has to be a. You guys are licensed,
bonded.
Because
right now it's an impasse. There's an impasse right now. They're not going to do this. They're not going to do that. We're not going to do this. So, at this point, we can sit here and.
Authorize authorize another contractor to come in here. Only council can do that because it's a contract approved by council.
Well, we have a contract with Republic on it. And I personally don't feel like we should waiver Republic because I don't think that they've done a bad job in the city of Kirby.
I think if we allow a waiver, it's going to open up a whole can of worms, and other businesses are going to say, well, if they got a waiver, why can't we have a waiver?
That's exactly what would happen.
And now, I'm not for that.
My last resort, is there an option of using residential cans?
Could put them where we get them without purchasing.
I mean, well, you're already going to have the pickup trucks going in there, so I mean, would that be an option to use?
Some actual limit. Yeah,
something
on
it.
They're going to get 50 of them. Would a member of council meet me on the property and maybe I'll come and see what our issue is and we can come up with an idea? And just, I would love that for that.
Well, my original statement tonight seems to be the most easiest logical thing to do. If y'all ended up having to send another truck out here from someplace else just to pick up that trash, it seemed like it'd be a lot cheaper for you to have one man come over there extra, one man to come over there and meet that trash truck. The day that he picks up, the man is going to pull in, he's going to pick up all the residential, and he's going to back out with a man on Gibbsprawl showing that he can back out because he's going to have to turn around and back up into Kirby Heights to pick up their can anyway. I just can't understand why that's such a hard solution to overcome.
Having two men, I can't speak for operations on that. I don't think they would do that. I can't
say that. We don't have a resolution again, and we have the residential garbage collection resolved.
Vinny, how many mobile homes do you have there?
Like 28 or so, something like that.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
And they're already full of people, or?
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, there's one vacant right now, but it might end up into a legal issue. We need that mobile home moved, and because we want it off the property. The rightful owner of that mobile home, you know, he's just dragging his feet, not doing anything. So, but that one is vacant, though. That one is vacant. I mean, going back to this issue, I mean, our hands are tied because, you know, they have an exclusive. So, I mean, our hands are tied and we don't have a choice. I mean, if they're a company, you know, I mean,
there's always a choice, Mr. Benny.
What? I'm sorry?
I said there's always a choice. It's just finding out how to get
there. How many residential, because, I mean, there's a certain container. I mean, it's so deep or what have you. How many residential containers would make up
for that receptacle?
28 residential cans to make up the capacity of this one? And y'all are servicing it 3 times a week?
It could be 28 total, so this is a 40-yard container. There are 96 gallons, so $100.
But that's what I'm saying. Y'all were servicing the actual container 3 times a week.
Because the style of truck that picks up the maximum capacity is 4 yards. So the type that your contract has, then you go up to 8 yards.
I thought he said 23. Yeah,
that's what Tim was saying.
Yeah.
Why don't you consider having one receptacle per trailer and having them, it's their responsibility to roll it out to the street when that.
I mean, that would solve the problem right there.
I was asking how many.
Oh, yeah. We're going to back up. And as long as we have to back up in the vehicle. The thing is here, I know safety is everything. We don't want to back up on Gibbsprawl. That's all. So if you'll take
them
to
Gibbsboro,
we're happy.
It wouldn't be on
Gibbsboro. Yeah. Or they could put it on FM 78.
I was going to say,
Otherwise, they would literally have to walk from one end of the world to the other to make it go to Gibbs Sprawl. I mean, that would...
No, but they were talking Gibbs Sprawl.
I'm saying those the residents at the trailer park would have to, if they had a residential can, would have to walk it all the way down to Gibbs Sprawl.
But they could put it on FM 78, and then they could pick them up on FM 78.
Yeah, 'cause there's a driveway that goes in right there off of, it was like 78. To gain to that property.
I mean, I have to carry my garbage can all the way down to my to the street.
I'm just saying from the furthest right. point. I mean, I can see if it's in front of you, but I'm saying if you have to walk it all the way down to the end of where Gibbs Sprawl and Kirby Heights meet, then...
There are a lot of handicapped people living in the trailer park, plus here in the residence, there's three of us that are handicapped, especially handicapped, and they're oh, in their 80s. They cannot walk, move it.
How did they get there now?
To the courtyard? They either drive there or they walk it there. Some people drive around.
Well, if each trailer had their own receptacle, like every other resident in Kirby, okay, your company offers handicap services for people that cannot move their can to the curb. That service would also apply to the handicapped and disabled, to the residents in the trailer park. So that would solve that issue.
Are y'all talking about putting the carts on 78 or Gibbs Sprawl?
78.
No, that they were saying Gibbs Sprawl, which would mean that the person on the farthest end of 78 would have to walk it all the way down to Gibbs Sprawl. I was just saying that's a little far.
I think if we're able to service it on 78, if they could get the carts out, anybody who could prove their handicap, we would be happy to pick those up individually.
And if they don't make it, they don't make it.
I think that's the best resolution.
And then it wouldn't be put... It wouldn't be picked up three times a week. It would only be picked up on the Thursday.
A trash day.
If they wanted more than once a week, they could buy another cart from Monique and have two carts they put up.
But that's what I'm saying. That would also save Republic from coming out
with that special truck
a day. Yeah. I mean, three times a week.
And save Kirby Heights Road a lot of wear.
And then nobody would be turning.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be going on anyone's property. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Where on 78 would you put the can?
I don't know.
If there's no place on 78, you put the can. There's only one way into the
can. That's what I'm asking because
that's
commercial property if you're putting it there. It's still on commercial property.
You want to take a look at it this week? And do tomorrow?
We'll have operations.
But does it speak to that intelligently without hurting?
But again, too, this, my respects being an elected official goes towards the residents. We need to resolve the residents' issue. Like you said, you can have the gentleman come out tomorrow, pick up their stuff on Fridays as he's out here repairing the receptacles. But that's the highest priority here. I mean, because there's lots of things the business owners can do. And I'm looking at a satellite image, which granted satellite images, depending on what satellite you're using, could be one that taken a picture 2 days or one that took a picture 2 years ago.
So 78 is not going to be viable. That's why I was asking without being...
Let's take a look at that.
Yes.
Because there's a driveway off of 78 that goes into the property where the mobile home complex is. All you'd have to do is open up that property on the other side and make another entrance or an exit on the 78 side right there.
So can we have Republic and possibly somebody from the city of Gilbert, I don't know, somebody...
I would take Gilbert.
...to go look with them tomorrow?
Jesus.
And then possibly
if Jason Boyce can go out there for just to look at traffic and safety for that piece of it.
Vinny, do you have anything to say about that solution?
I don't know. I mean,
However, then the residents would actually have to figure out where to store the bed because they don't have a yard.
Then they have to store it next to their trailer.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but then since it's such a closed spot.
I mean, we can look at it, but it's going to be tight on 78 side in the property. I mean, you know.
Residents will be picked up tomorrow, the four on there. If you can please set up something with Monique and possibly our chief of police for that area.
We'll get the running done. We won't.
Whatever day it is, I'll be available. Whatever time it is, I'll be available. I used to get up at 4:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock.
Because I mean, I want to, you know, to be able for the residents as well as commercial to be able to be serviced properly. So hopefully we can come to an agreement between y'all with Republic. So. Are y'all going to be around tomorrow?
No, I'll be back until Wednesday.
So if, Mr. Pallotta, will you be available tomorrow at some point? Will your operations be available tomorrow, or you still have to act?
I think I can get someone tomorrow.
Okay, well, actually, if we can just get a time together where Mr. Martinez and Mr. Pallotta can, obviously, they're the parties that are involved, make sure that we can get somebody from Republic that's going to be there so that we can help get that resolved, and if not, then we'll have to move in a different direction. And then that way our city manager can designate somebody, our chief of police can possibly be there to make sure that as far as safety, depending on what is decided, and move from there. So you'll reach out to the city manager tomorrow after speaking with operations? Right. And then after that conversation, whatever it is, can you just send out to staff, and then that way we can bring it back to know what the resolution is so that we can ensure that the property is being taken care of as well. All right, so that call will be made tomorrow. And then city staff will reach out to y'all so that y'all can meet together with all the parties involved.
Okay.
All right,
thank you.
Thank you. All right, item 8N, discussion and possible action regarding Republic Services broken carts. Actually asked this item to be placed on the agenda, and it just corresponded with the item before. so I figured while y'all are here. So we had an influx of broken carts and complaints about broken carts, and it's impeding a lot of different scenarios. People aren't being able to remove their carts from the streets because they are not operational. Granted, I know that residents can call, it gets fixed, but at the same time, there has just been an influx. I don't know if...
I got it.
I know for a fact that I've received probably 15 complaints just this last week.
Yeah, last Friday...
And even ours was broken, our lid was cracked, and...
We're made aware last Friday that there was like 18 or 19 calls that came in. And I haven't heard anything until then for quite a while. We had an issue a while back, and we started going through and replacing carts. And Obviously, it sounds like it's time to do that again. So what we started today is we normally have three drivers that service Kirby. We had five in Kirby today, and we assigned each of the five drivers to find 10 broken carts each to call in to our dispatcher to get those carts either replaced or fixed. So if it's something real simple, like there's a wheel off and we can replace a wheel, we're going to do that. If the cart is decent, if it's old and beat up, we're just going to replace it with a new one. So what we'll be doing is every week we will be proactively finding carts that are broken, and we'll be replacing them or fixing them. And then, of course, any calls that come in to Patty and her team.
Do we know if there was a change in personnel? Because, like I said, it happened all at once, and we had, even ours, it was picked up, and then when the driver put it back down, he literally threw it off the forks.
I want to come here tonight and give you the answer to that, because you mentioned this to me, and I want to join y'all's community, Kirby community thing.
I'm not sure if you want to.
Yeah, I asked y'all to be on there a couple of times. I want to see that. I don't want to run high from all that, and I don't want to come here tonight and tell y'all something that's not true. So I can't tell you I know the problem yet, but I'm on it, and we're following drivers. We're following them. We're working with maintenance, because I got operations saying one thing, I got maintenance saying another thing, and I'm not ready to say what.
Well, and there's a couple things that could be happening. It could be the arm on our truck needs to be either replaced or rebuilt, because when those things get old, they get kind of loose and wobbly, and it doesn't set it down. It'll tend to smack it down.
It was sat down perfectly, so
a different truck.
It also looked like maybe the drivers are being hurried, you know, that they're getting in a hurry trying to finish their route, which I completely understand. But at the same time, it's making, like I said, I drove through on the way home, and there were, I would say, probably the streets that I drove down, probably 90% of the cans were laying on their side. They weren't even upright, and they weren't even on the sidewalk.
Today or last week?
Today. They weren't even on the sidewalk. They were actually in the middle of the street. Well, I shouldn't say middle of the street. They were in the street where a car would normally go. It wasn't the middle of the street. I witnessed, actually on your street, today when I came home, there was a gentleman. He was going to pull in his trash cans and couldn't because his wheels were gone. So, you know, I mean, and I don't mean they were, one was missing, like just laying there. I mean, they were completely gone. I don't know where they went.
Well, you give me 2 weeks to figure this out, and I'll come to you and tell you what's going on, and I will figure it out for myself. I'm going to be following drivers. They're going to think they're being attacked and harassed, but I'm going to be following them.
And like I said, it's not all bad. I mean, people, you know, have also said, you know, that there's one specific driver, I don't know who it is, that is so helpful and will replace the, you know, wheels right then and there, and he's careful, and he
helps. To that. You had one driver
that
drove off, realized that he had knocked off or the wheel fell off of our trash can, and I saw him stop. Because I was going outside like, what the? Went outside, he came back, and he says, I'll be back. Okay. He said, don't move it, just leave it right there. Okay. He came back, hammered on a new wheel, put the new end cap back on that lug and everything else.
And our that's awesome that he's doing that. Our expectation isn't necessarily that they fix every one the second they see it, but at least make note of the address and call it in and get it to dispatch so we can get Ivan to come out and fix it or
replace it. Well, he said he only kept a little bit of spare parts on his vehicle. But
yeah.
Our neighbor is one of the ones that had their trash can being picked up.
So that guy
never went past her place, and he came back over. And he handed me the stuff. I put it back together, told him.
That guy's doing it right, and he's going above and beyond. But our expectation for all of our drivers is we should never have a cart that has no wheels on it, and our driver goes there week after week and services it and doesn't say anything to anybody. That's a problem.
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to presume that happened today, because it wouldn't have been able to be set up right for him to service. So, but that's, like I said, that's not an isolated instance. There has been several. And, of course, again, I know that the process is you call City Hall, you can call Republic, it gets fixed.
But at the same time, I know that that has to be an expense too. We're sitting here talking about contractual obligations and pieces, and that's just a piece that continues to would make our contract go up because of the exorbitant cost of replacing day, you know, every trash day, every recycle day.
Well, it's good feedback. Thanks for bringing it to us, and we will address it. And if you would like us to come back to a future council meeting and give you an update on what we found.
May 24th.
I'm fishing that day, Terry.
Who's taking me?
What? We'd be happy to do that.
If not May 24th, the first meeting in June. I'll let our city manager decide.
I'm going to be watching too. And if I can get, we can get it fixed before then, hopefully we can. And I'm going to be really watching that.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Gentlemen.
Roll.
Item 8N, discussion. Oh, no, I already did that
one. Oh.
Item 8O, discussion and possible action on extension of a contract with Linebarger, Goggin, Blair, and Sampson LLP for fines and fee collection. I know. I should have skipped that one first.
A little bit of background before they come up. We entered into a contract for court fines and fee collection with Linebarger in 2008. That contract allowed for 4 additional 5-year extensions. So this is the second one that we're requesting to extend it retroactively starting May 1st until April 30th, 2023. And I'll let them introduce themselves and more about what they do.
And if you speak softly, if you can please speak in the microphone. So.
Sure.
Thank you.
And I don't think that we actually speak that softly, but my name is Idra Bush. I'm an attorney with Linebarger.
And I'm Lelia Gibson. I'm also an attorney with Linebarger. And we're really pleased to be here this evening to discuss a renewal. Just in your last end of your report that you last received, we gave you information on the life of the contract. And so since 2008, when there was first placements and really moving forward and kind of digging into that receivable, there's been approximately $904,000 that have been collected over the life since we've been doing the collections for you. And just to remind you, what this is these are municipal court fees and fines. We were kind of just looking to see whether or not that new ordinance you have would end up being a citation. And if it is, we'll work on getting that collected if they're delinquent. But pretty much what happens here is that your court at all times controls the placements to Linebarger. They're sent electronically over. All of the monies are collected here at City Hall. And then your invoice. So it's different from other companies that hold on to your money and grow interest on your money. As a law firm, we're not permitted to do that. So we take what happens is all of the money comes into the court, and then your invoice monthly. And so what you have before you is a option on the renewal. It's a 5-year renewal, retroactively from May 1 all the way to April 30th, 2023. I mean, that sounds crazy, right? But that's the next 5 years. And this is the second renewal option. But we're happy to answer any questions if you have any.
I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion that we extend the contract with Lindbergh, Ogden, and Blair, Sampson LLP for all fines and fees collections from May 1st through April 30th, 2023.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge to extend the contract with Linebarger, Goggin, Blair, and Sampson for fines and fee collection for a period of May 1st, 2018 to April 30th, 2023. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Abadaka?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Mayor, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for waiting that out. Item 8P, discussion and possible action on Bexar County CDBG cooperative agreement. I will turn this over to our city manager.
So, Mayor, Council, we are eligible for community development
there's a lot of grant funding, but Bexar County does require that every 3 years you sign a new participation agreement when you want to continue to apply for these funds. So our current one will expire July of this year, so they're asking that if we intend to continue, we approve this agreement for the next 3 years.
Anybody have any questions? I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we accept the possible action of extending or accepting the Bexar County contract CDBG cooperative agreement for the next for fiscal years 2019 through 2021.
Second.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to accept the agreement to participate in the CDBG program for fiscal years 2019 through 2021. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Al-Fadaka?
Yes.
Councilmember Layton?
Yes.
Councilmember
yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Go get those grants. Go, go, go. Item 8Q, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-838, repealing and replacing ordinance number O-2014-749, authorizing the use of parks and rec areas owned and controlled by the City of Kirby, regulating possession and consumption of alcoholic beverages in such parks, stating the policies and regulations governing the use of such park, establishing a curfew for park usage, and providing a penalty for violation of this ordinance. This is the first reading. We'll turn it over to our city manager.
So, just to give you some highlights on what the recommended changes are in this ordinance, we have a section in the current ordinance that talks about a permit in order to use the softball and baseball fields. Since I've been here, haven't had a process set up to actually issue a permit. So that whole section has been removed. We've added, what we currently do is annually, at their time of their contract, we have groups who come in to request an annual agreement with the city to use those fields. And we have been charging them $500 for the year, as long as they meet all of the requirements. So that has been added in here on page, on Exhibit B. Where it talks about field charges for organized local leagues. So that kind of explains the process that we already use. It just wasn't spelled out in the ordinance before. Also, on Exhibit C, under the fees, we did not propose any changes to the rental fees for Friendship Park, Hugo Lenz Park, the John Sterling Hall, or the pool. However, if council would like to propose a different amount, this would be the time that we could do that. There is a change under the pool. Because we went with the pool management company this year, they actually charged $25 a lifeguard per hour, and our current ordinance says 15. So we would need to update that to 25 to match what their current charges are. We removed the section about pool passes because they don't have a mechanism to honor pool passes. So that's something that we're hoping to remove from the ordinance. Also, we get a lot of inquiries about can we hold a date for someone, hold a reservation for someone. So we just added a sentence that talks about we don't hold dates and times for renters. You have to come in and officially pay your fee, sign your agreement in order to book it. And then just added a kind of a checklist or a little sheet that talks about cleaning guidelines because the deposit is refundable if the facility is left clean. But right now there's always a disagreement about what city staff interprets as clean versus what a renter interprets as clean. So we're trying to come up with just some basic guidelines and stuff, and that means, you know, picking up the trash or making sure you don't leave stuff all over the restroom to wipe it off countertop, things like that. And then also adding that keys need to be returned to City Hall by 5 p.m. on the next business day after your event. So those things have been added.
Do you have a checklist for what the city's going to provide for renters, like all the litter's picked up before they rented it? Or is somebody going to be there to walk around and say, you know, this is here, there's no toilet paper in the bathrooms? Are you following kind of before?
When we have a rental, staff goes out and makes sure it is ready for the rental. Okay. And then someone goes back after the rental. Now, if it's in the park and they're having security, then usually the officers are there are able to document that or call it in and say, you know, maybe something was already there or they observed that the party left the trash out.
What is the time difference between our staff going out there and seeing it versus when the event actually happens?
In the park already. See, and that's the time because it's still a public park.
Right.
So if a person, you know, let's say they, because we do have on-call staff on public works every day of the week, so if there's an event in the park on Saturday or Sunday, they're out there before the event in the mornings to clean up. And then
because
they're back
in that time.
So if it's a nighttime event, say that ends at 10 o'clock, they're not back till the next morning.
And that's what I was, you know, in that meantime, because, I mean, if it's somewhere that's either right before the event starts or, you know, within 30 minutes, then maybe pictures can be taken, you know, as far as kind of like when you rent or something, when you go into a home and you have a punch list or this is what it looked like before and here's, you know, that kind of thing. But now if there's a large amount of time span between that, there's no way that we would be able to say what it looked like.
And it's a little easier with the John Sterling because, you know, they're the only ones with the keys. So
correct.
They go in and see it. No one else has been in there.
And where does it mostly happen? Is it in the facility? Like
in the John Sterling that we have most of the challenges with it not being clean. I mean, and if you believe the air conditioner and the heat running has an expense to the city, but we've never specifically said, hey, please turn off the air and the heat. So we're asking that now. You know, as far as the trash or stocking the restrooms.
So that one would be so the buildings though would be easier to take before and after or at least to see. I would just think that would be at least something to say, okay, this is what it looked like before that group went in and now that you're gone, here it is. And then that person can be there, I mean, to see, like, okay, it wasn't something that we left, this is.
And we've had people before maybe take a picture of something and bring it to us and say, it was like this.
Right. I know that there was an event that the city had, and it was done right after somebody had been there. And yes.
Are there any other changes that you all would suggest to this one? We're okay with the fees leaving them as is.
The PA system must be turned off at 11. And is the hours of the park at 11? Okay. And the events that are happening at the park, then I'm presuming that the police department is ensuring that it's vacated by midnight? Nobody has any other suggestions, then we did have a change, though, right? Was there a change? Debbie, I was just asking about it. Right, so if there aren't any changes or suggestions, I will entertain a motion for this ordinance.
Make a motion to accept ordinance number 0-2018-838. Repealing or replacing ordinance number 0-2014-749.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge to accept ordinance number O-2018-838, repealing and replacing ordinance number O-2014-749. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Ordinance number O-2018-838 passes for the first reading. Item 8R, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-839, amending the 2017-2018 municipal budget of the City of Kirby. This is the first reading. I will turn this over to Tina.
Mayor and Council, this will be the second amended budget for the General Fund and Water Fund. I will go over the items that we are amending. The first one will be under City Admin. We are increasing the publication expense by $15,000, and $10,700 of that was the bond package that we had to put together, and also the ordinance that we are passing, that all being updated as well, and so that's costing extra fees for the city. So we are just increasing that by $15,000. We are also asking to add $1,000 for the court clerk certification and the assistant city manager for the grant training. So that's for the city admin. On the police department.
Wait, hold on. Does anyone have any questions on that? If you can do each section and then we'll ask you questions that way.
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. Anybody have any questions on that section? Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, on the police department, we increased the police salary by $20,000. And if you remember when we were talking about decreasing one of the animal control officers and moving it to add another police department. So we're moving that $20,000 from the animal control to the police department to cover that. I also moved some money from the insurance to cover his insurance, which is $2,520. And $233 of FICA. And then these are some other items that were requested by Chief. And the operational supplies, he's asked for $1,500. And then building maintenance, $2,700 for maintenance. The vehicle maintenance, we are real low on that. And we've had some Tahoe that's had some major expenses, so he's asking to increase the vehicle maintenance by $10,000. So in order to try to compromise with that a little bit, we decreased the prisoners by $2,000 and decreased the vehicle capital outlay, that one. We decreased that one by $2,100. And then there's $2,178 that were not spent on the radios that would be going towards those expenses. And also $1,055 that we did not use on the fencing that will be going towards the other expenses for the police department.
Anybody have any questions on that one? Nope. Is that Jay? Do you have any questions?
I'm fine.
Good.
Okay, department, they have asked for additional $2,200 for operational supplies and $1,500 for building maintenance. And also they've increased the bunker gear for $1,059 for extra gear. So with all that in extra expense, we have decreased the washer extractor by $4,759 that they did not use to cover those expenses.
Anybody have any questions on the fire?
I'm fine.
On animal care facility, just like I mentioned a while ago, we moved $20,000 to the police department for their salary. Now we are over on the overtime, so we're pulling $3,000. We're increasing overtime by $3,000. I decreased the insurance by $10,120. And part of that is to be used towards the police department and also to animal care facilities number 7, which is the vehicle. And I will get to that in just a moment. The FICA tax was decreased by $233. Again, that went towards the police department. The workman's comp was decreased by $3,000, and that is going towards the overtime that I have asked for $3,000. Operational supplies were decreased by $5,000 to be used towards ACF 7, and that ACF 7 is the vehicle, which is $31,502. They are looking to purchase a van because we have a truck that is totally out of commission.
On the operational supplies, as far as being decreased, is that the one that we had jointly?
No.
Okay.
That was strictly our operational supplies.
Okay. Would you like to talk about that van?
She's talking about the van. Okay. You know more about it than I do.
I was waiting for somebody to ask about the van, but...
As you know, we currently, under the umbrella of animal care, whether it's animal control under the police department or the Kirby Bear side for the kennel tax, we have two vehicles that we use. The vehicle that's been assigned to the kennel facility, this is a vehicle that we got at auction. Best I could come up with was like 2010. It was already 5 years old, a hand-me-down from San Antonio. Some things have happened over the years. The AC unit is almost impossible to keep running. It requires constant maintenance. The animal control shell itself, the doors, over the years, they're breaking. There's one that they've actually got tied together with bungee cords and duct tape. Because we can't get parts. We've had mechanical issues with it. Most recently, while it was parked up in the up near the facility, kind of in the where it normally parks up there, in the middle of the night, somebody got up underneath it and cut the catalytic converters out of it. I have had FM78 Automotive trying to find catalytic converters for almost a month now, and they're not to be found. We believe that they were stolen out of that truck and probably used in somebody else's truck or sold to be used in somebody else's truck. They're not making them for 2005 anymore, and FM78 has not been able to locate any. So that vehicle is out of commission. They still use it to haul bigger dogs across the cul-de-sac. But it's running open exhaust, which we're not supposed to be doing. And just to get the air conditioning, and I'm not talking the AC in the cab portion where the driver sits, because that's out as well, but the AC where the animals are at. It's just not worth spending the money on that vehicle. It's getting close to 150,000 miles on it, and it's just time for it to be put out to pasture. In talking with the kennel techs and JC down there, kind of looking at another vehicle, they would prefer just a van, just a newer van. That's going to come at about a $10,000 savings over a traditional animal control truck. The one that we bought two years ago, that was right at about $40,000. We were budgeted $40,000 for it. I think I came in under $38,000. The box that's built, the closest company that makes prefabricates those boxes is almost in Oklahoma. Matter of fact, Chief Alfaro and I, it was an all-day trip to drive that vehicle up, drop it off, and then 5 weeks later go up and get it again because they don't deliver, they don't install, and they don't transport. So the money that is requested for that, I went out to Jordan Ford, got an estimate for them. They have vehicles available. I want to say the total cost of the vehicle itself was $30,600. The additional monies that are added to that are going to include, because it is a municipally owned vehicle, it's going to have exempt license plates on it. We're required to put the city name. So the plan is to put graphics on it, limit the graphics to, much like the Public Works, the city logo on the door and then Animal Care Services at the bottom of the door. Not do anything else. There were wild ideas coming out of the facility to do, you know, dogs and cats on the side, kind of like we did with the trailer. But I want to kind of, maybe that for next budget, if they want to dress it up or something like that. But just to get them back on the road, what we have been doing is I have tasked our animal control officer, if they needed to transport animals out of the facility to SNPs or wherever they were going to have, that she was going to come off of her regular duties and do that transport for them. But as luck would have it, that new vehicle is currently at Ansara Winton, undergoing some warranty work. We have a problem with the charging system on it. So that's the story on the vehicle, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to try and answer them.
So the van will be able to have the small kennels and stuff when they're...
Yeah, the plan is, and this works real well with some of the transfer companies. You know, they're transferring up north to northern tier states. And basically what we will do to it, and there's some other monies that are going to be, and I'm going to be as frugal as I can to purchase the vehicle. And what we're going to do is look to put eye bolts inside the van. There's nothing in the back. It's simply a cargo van. The van is going to come with a partition behind the driver's seat to keep anything from flying forward, coming into in the front of the vehicle. But they want to put like eye hooks or what they call those on boats. I forget what they are, where you can tie things off. Yeah, and then what they have been doing in the vans is they can stack, you know, dogs down or crates down the side and then put another layer. And then what we've priced out is a medium height. If you've seen some of these newer vans, some are really short and squat and some are super tall, but there's a level in the middle. We didn't go with the most expensive, but we didn't go with the cheapest either, just to give them some height inside the vehicle to put in crates. So that if they need to take them across town to another facility, like I said, like SNPs, and there's one down by the zoo that they use a lot. So that was the purpose for it.
And so you had mentioned the adoption trailer. Is there any works? Are we going to try to recoup anything on that? Are we going to try to fix it or try?
Well, the only issue that I'm aware of with the adoption trailer is the jack that raises and lowers it, and that is something that I have on my agenda to get addressed up at FM 78 Automotive. And it's just going to be a little coordination because we've got to get some help from Public Works to muscle it up on the back of a truck, and then I believe Mr. True and his crew, can muscle it off of the truck once we get it there. So other than that, we sent that down 6-8 months ago, I guess it was, and we went through the AC and they double-checked the generator and all the lights. So the only thing that I'm aware of is just that crank to raise and lower it.
So we're not even utilizing that trailer right now, are we?
No, not of right now. And there hasn't been a big call for it right now. They have not been doing a lot of out-of-facility adoptions. There's not been a lot of adoption events. Most everything that they are transferring out are going to northern tier states where there's a big need for adoptable pets.
So we're getting a van to allow them to take these adopted animals out of the state of Texas?
No. This is strictly our employees in and around the San Antonio area.
Okay.
To medical facilities, and if they start doing out of, like Christy used to go to PetSmart for adoption events, and the vehicle, I'm going to line it up to have a trailer hitch. So, and it's a 3/4 ton instead of a 1/2 ton, so it'll have enough horsepower to tow that van or that trailer. So. That's what the plan is. No, this will not be taken out of the local area.
So what's going to happen with the other vehicle that's out of commission?
Well, we're going to, when the time is right, we'll send it off to the auction company, get it auctioned off, and then whatever we can get for it.
Put it back towards what the van
Yeah, they'll go back, turn it back over to City Hall, and they'll put it where they need to put it, general fund or wherever.
Anybody have any questions on that part? Okay.
As you know, I gave you a revised budget, amended budget, and I had to add in the street. And so we have the contract change order for Pageland and Theodore, the CDBG grant, and that was increased by $3,203.
Now we also need to go ahead and add the $30,791 to the street budget for the four fees that were approved tonight. So
we also add the 25.
No, that's already in the budget.
That's already in the budget. Okay. That's when we have 27,000. We'll change it current. Yes, sir.
So can we add the 3791
in this now? Okay. General operations. I've increased the vehicle liability insurance by $1,000, and that is because we added the tractor and batwing and K9, and so that's additional insurance for those two items after our insurance was paid back in October. And then back in January, the council approved the renewal of the GIS system, and so I had to add that to the budget by $3,715. So with that being said, the budget was increased by $49,687 without that $30,791. Moving on to water funds. The small tools were increased by $1,000. The water lines and mains were increased by $6,000 for additional repairs. The backhoe with the cab was decreased by $4,600 because they did not use all that. So it was a capital outlay. And the valves replacement was increased by $7,000 for additional replacement. The asphalt public works yard was increased by $9,480 for engineering fees. And the generator at the well site number 3 was decreased by $9,400 to be used towards number 2 and number 4. So with that being said, the total overall increase in expense was $9,480.
Then why was the well decreased by that much for number 3? What was
the well number 3? I'm sorry. The well number 3 was decreased.
Yeah, you said it was decreased by 9,400 to be used towards well 2 and 4.
The generator.
But the price of the generator was lower, or?
We actually approved more than we needed at the time. We had a cost estimate of like
57,000. Yeah, there's 197.
More just in case additional fees came up, so we didn't.
That's all I have.
So with that amount, so we had with your revised the 49,687 plus the 3791. I have 80,478. Is that what you have? All right. Are there any questions for Tina or for our city manager? If not, I will entertain a motion. And if the motion is made in favor, if you can please say the amount of $80,478. entertain a motion.
I make a motion we take action on ordinance number O-2018-839, amending the budget for the change of $80,478.
Second.
That would be for the general fund. If you would also add the
9,480. Yes, got it. For the general fund, and adding the expenditures for the water fund of $9,480.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept ordinance number O-2018-839, amending the 2017-2018 municipal budget of the City of Kirby, the general fund being $80,478, with the water fund being $9,480. Is there any further discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Yes.
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 Mayor Pierce.
Yes. Ordinance number O-2018-839, amending the 2017-2018 municipal budget, passes for the first reading. I am going to go down to item 8U, discussion and possible action on trademarking the City of Kirby seal, so that our attorney can come on up.
I think I've sat here longer than the Lombard people did.
You're so special, Mark.
But when did they get here?
I was at a previous council meeting that ended, Ms. Vernon, at 6:54. So I'm here tonight because Ms. Vernon had advised me that the council was interested in getting information concerning a possible trademark of the city seal of the City of Kirby. It's on your agenda right at the top. And it's on a whole bunch of other things. It's on, as Chief mentioned, we put it on vehicles. It's on the city letterhead. All sorts of places. And Ms. Vernon asked that I present some basic background information about trademarks and then talk about the relative necessity of a trademark application, as well as the types of trademark registration and estimated costs. So starting with the basics, what is a trademark? Generally speaking, a trademark is usually a symbol or a logo that identifies a product. It could also be simply a word or a phrase that's used to identify a product. If the symbol is used to identify a service, instead of calling it a trademark, it's called a service mark. There are two other terms that are often used in conjunction with trademarks. One is copyright. Copyright is used to protect an original literary or artistic work. For example, some years ago, I handled the copyright registration of a novel written by one of my clients, and then shortly thereafter, I handled the copyright registration of a brochure that a physician client of mine wanted to put in his patient waiting room. Today, I got a call about a one-act play that the same client who wrote the novel has written, and we're exploring getting that copyrighted as well. Patent is another term used in conjunction with trademarks, and a patent protects an invention or a methodology as opposed to a logo or an artistic or literary work. So trademark is the correct term that we would use in regard to registration of the Kirby City Seal. Without a trademark registration, the city already has acquired what's known as common law ownership rights to the city symbol, to the city seal, simply because it's been used in commerce in connection with the business of the city from whenever it was adopted. Your city was formed in 1955. I don't know when the seal was adopted, but it's been around a while. And during that period of time, the city has acquired by its use of the city seal, whether it's on the agenda for tonight's meeting or on the letterhead or on the doors of the vehicles, common law ownership rights. And it wasn't necessary to do a registration to acquire common law rights. They came with the use over the years of the city symbol, the city seal. The common law rights, however, generally only give you protection within the relevant geographic area where the logo or the design, or in this case, the city seal, is used. It's probably not just the city of Kirby, but it's not the whole state of Texas, and it's certainly not beyond the state of Texas. Registration of a trademark for the city seal in the office of the Secretary of State of Texas would put the public at large on formal notice of the city's claim of ownership of the trademark in commerce in Texas in connection with the business of the city, and gives the city what's sometimes called prima facie proof of the validity of the registration of city ownership of the trademark and the trademarked logo or design, in this case again the city seal, in connection with city business. The state law, Business and Commerce Code, allows for legal action to be taken against someone who infringes on a registered trademark. If the city was going to use this city seal, the design of the city seal, outside the state of Texas, the registration, instead of being with the Secretary of State of Texas, would be through the United States Patent and Trademark Office, and thereby, upon registration, would put the entire country on notice of the city's ownership of the trademark, create a presumption of the city's exclusive use of the trademark anywhere in the United States in connection with city business. And while it's common for commercial businesses to register logos and designs, we all know the script writing on the cans of Coca-Cola we drink. We know about the swoosh on our sneakers that are made by Nike, and there are dozens and dozens of other logos that we could see. The gentleman from Republic had a Republic shirt. It had a logo on his shirt sleeve. It's very common for a commercial business to register its logo, to trademark by registration the logo, to get more than common law rights to that logo or design. But it's likely that many public entities don't see a need to do so unless they have incurred significant expense in that design or have an intention to use that design or logo for more than typical governmental identification purposes. I have handled trademarking of a city seal for another city and of a city design of a kind of the what it wanted to be as its identifying logo that was put on city printed material. That was done at the state and not federal level. Registration of a trademark is not automatic. The design or logo or city seal to be trademarked is reviewed by an experienced trademark examiner. It's compared to already registered designs and logos, and whether it's filed in Washington with the Patent Office or here in Austin with the Secretary of State, that search, that comparative search, is done not only in Texas, but is done as a nationwide search to determine whether or not this design is likely to be confused with an existing registered trademark or the same as somebody's registered trademark. And in addition, in at least two of the trademark registrations which I handled, the examiner required that the applicant affirmatively disclaim the use of the words embedded in the design if those words were not going to be used in conjunction with the design, a standard request that comes from the trademark examiner in what's called a trademark objection letter. And the letter gives you a certain amount of time in which to respond to the objection, to either try and distinguish the objection that it's going to be confused with an existing trademark, or to give the disclaimer that the trademark examiner is requesting. Sometimes the objection letter recommends, and that really means you better do it, recommends that you modify the class of registration. For the city's registration, we would probably register it in Texas under class 35, which is a category for business and advertising. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, a trademark registration can be done either at the state or federal level. The state registration protects only the use of the image trademarked in Texas. The Texas filing fee is $50 per class of registration. The legal fees for me to handle the preparation of the application, the negotiations and discussions with the state trademark examiner, reports either to the city council or to the city manager or the city secretary or all of the above, I would estimate to be at approximately $1,000. The timing for the state application would be from filing to final decision is something that we cannot expedite. A lot of filings with the Secretary of State can be expedited by the filing of a $25 expedited fee. You cannot expedite a trademark application in Texas, so it is in the order received. The ones I handled in the past, it was roughly 3 to 4 months from filing the application to getting a final registration and approval. The federal registration provides nationwide protection against infringement. The filing fee depends on how much information you provide on the application. The minimum is $225. The maximum is $400 per application per class. The legal fees for handling the federal registration are higher, and I would estimate them at least $1,500 per application per class of registration. This is what a U.S. trademark registration looks like. This trademark application was registered September 26, 2017. It was done for a client of mine. We filed the application for this trademark, again, issued September 26, 2017. The application for this trademark was filed September 13, 2016. Took over a year to get that symbol registered. Okay, that symbol is different from the City of Kirby symbol, but it's not that complicated. It's a pretty simple script A. So again, that's another indicator of the difference between state and federal registration. The trademark application, whether state or federal, is a written application. It must include a detailed description of the city seal, including the color, if you want the color to be trademarked and protected. It requires the submission of 3 original specimens, again in color if you want the color included, that show how the city seal is and has been used. Ms. Vernon provided me with 3 specimens of the door of the public works vehicle and 3 other specimens, I think the city letterhead, if I remember correctly. The application requires a statement as of the date the city seal was first used in Texas and anywhere, and of course for the city seal, that would be the same date. If state registration is approved, it's a 5-year registration. Action must be taken to renew the registration within 1 year of expiration. So we get if we get a trademark registration in Texas on July 1 of this year, we have to apply to renew that application before July 1 of 2023. If we miss that deadline, we have to start all over again. There is no limit on the number of renewals, but it's a 5-year renewal process, so it has to be calendared. Someone needs to be careful about not missing the deadline. Renewal is $25. The renewal application is relatively simple. The federal registration, if granted, requires the registration to be renewed between the 4th and 5th year after registration. So on the one I held up, You know, we have a staff member at the applicant who has calendared to do something sometime between September 27, 2021 and September 20, 2023. It has to be done between the fourth and fifth year after the initial registration, again between the ninth and tenth year after the initial registration, and thereafter every 10 years. Again, it requires the applicant or the registrant to be proactive. They do not send reminders. Maybe one reason is why this patent is registered as number 5,298,014, but they don't send reminders. And this is my cursory summary. I understand that it may have raised more questions than it answered. As you know, your agenda permits possible action tonight in regard to authorizing going forward with trademarking the city seal. I'm available now to try to answer questions you may have. You always have the option to take no action this evening to allow time for you to consider some questions, get them to Ms. Vernon to be forwarded to me for a response. I believe I have been asked to be back here in 2 weeks at your May 24th council meeting. So you could certainly have this item, take no action tonight, and have this item be back on the agenda for action on May 24th. That's really up to the members of the council. I thank you for your attention, and are there any questions tonight?
No, I think that the general consensus was just to get a basis of what it was, how much it would cost, was it worth it, would it be worth considering?
I don't think it's worth it.
No, that's what I thought, and that's why I said at the end that I really think that it may be too early to make a decision. You know, ordinarily, and for the client who we did the little A symbol, we felt that for that, a traditional commercial use, that the nationwide filing was very appropriate. For the other city work that I've done in this specific area, those registrations were done at the state level. If the city of Kirby name was used by 35 cities in 35 different states, we probably wouldn't be able to get it registered quite as easily at the national level. I'm not familiar with other cities and other states named Kirby, but in light of the fact that you are more likely to need and want protection, if at all, in Texas, and because the cost of the Texas registration and the time frame within which it may be attainable are shorter, are smaller in the way of cost, and shorter in the way of time, you know, if you decided to go forward, it probably would be appropriate and okay to simply do the state registration. Again, I thank you for your time, and if there are questions or follow-up, if you get them to Ms. Vernon, she'll get them to me, and I'll get answers back to y'all. Thank you.
Thank you. Discussion and possible action on primitive camping in Friendship Park. There's a gnat, sorry. Councilmember Pierce, would you like to touch base on that one?
Since we've gotten since we've set in place the hike and bike trail, we have the Timothy J. Wilson walking trail. There's a whole back area that's over there that still need to be revitalized, and I figure, with permission, would like to take a look at setting something up to further take a look at maybe 6 or 7 different little campsites on that backside going towards Hugo Lentz Park. Because we're having that area cleaned up, I'm thinking that the Boy Scouts used to utilize the area out there. It's back on the other side where you really don't see it from the traffic flow of either Seguin Road or from Ben Zingelman. So it kind of gives you that primitive little setting back there in the back. So I was thinking maybe possibly get with Fish and Wildlife, game management or something back there. So probably provide, once we get everything cleaned up with the waterway that flows through there, fish or something back there.
And I know there had been an interest from the Girl Scouts to have that. The Boy Scouts used to do that, and that would be something. It was also something that when there were a couple of residents that were talking about things that they'd like to see in Kirby, and that was one of them, because maybe somebody can't afford to go out, pick up their family, and take them somewhere, but they could pick up and go to the park, and it would be almost like camping, even though they weren't leaving their, you know, leaving their city. So it was just an ambiance of actually being able to camp, kind of like in your backyard, but not necessarily in your backyard. So if we can look at that and possible, it would definitely be primitive, so there wouldn't be, you know, us erecting anything for big camp areas. It would literally just be an opportunity to just see if maybe we could actually have people out there camping, families, those types of things.
An area where they can set up their tent, maybe you have the small, because if you go to Guadalupe State Park or any of the state parks we have here in Texas, they give you, you can either have primitive camping or you can have electricity and all the other amenities provided for you, whether you're doing a tent, RV, or anything else. Primitive camping, here's your location, you got a little spot for your tent, maybe something
set aside.
Would
they have to register?
Well, yeah, you'd have to get a permit.
I don't have a problem with it. I just have a problem with if you're tenting, you know, where are you going to go to the bathroom at? You know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's a whole lot of things, but I'm saying if we can just continue on and possibly take a look at all these, because there's a lot of different questions. Yeah, you've got a porta potty at Hugo Lentz where there used to be two bathroom slab that's sitting there for two different restrooms for a male and a female. And all it is a slab with a porta potty sitting on it. So, I mean, there's a discussion right there in itself.
Right.
I'm just talking about taking the ideas, getting those, and seeing if it would be plausible to even do something like this.
I know the Boy Scouts, well, they used to use closer to the pavilion area.
And that's even an option, too, just something so that we can continue revitalizing the area and just other options that.
Well, and I think if you're going to even look at that, we have parks and recreation that, you know, that it should, you know, include with them on what they think.
That's what I said, but on the Hugo Lent side, on the back side and the
last
place.
But I know, but I think it needs
right
to be involved with the parks and recreation.
Definitely. It's just a matter, you know, that was, I was actually planning on being at the meeting tonight before, but since they didn't meet, then I couldn't bring that up, so. That's just something that, like I said, at the, not last council meeting, but the council meeting before when it was mentioned, we had a couple of people come up and say that they would be extremely interested in bringing their group, you know, if that was something that we did. And definitely it would be through the city.
Right.
It would be, you know, the emergency services would know. I mean, it wouldn't be like just, oh, I'm just going to wake up today and decide to go camp in the park. So it would definitely be something that would come through here with contracts and, you know, somebody that would actually know that people were there. And there are grants and things, you know, as we continue to try to get park improvement grants and those kinds of things for that. Item 8T. Update on garage located at 4807 Gibbs Sprawl. Councilmember Grant had requested this item. I don't know if we want to just table this on.
What it was, we had made that hearing with the judge and stuff, and the judge gave him until this court date, I think it was, to tear it down and supposedly more or less get it cleaned up. He's torn it down now. When Mike brought this up, he hadn't even started on it. So I'm just speaking for Mike right now, but when I passed by there just the other day, it's all torn down. So I don't think we need to worry about it anymore. because if it's not satisfactory to the judge, the judge is going to take action against him.
I went by the other day, and all it looked like was the garage door was off of that building.
Well, he's even got the building tore down.
Yeah.
It's all the way back to the original.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think we just, you know, pass it off now.
All right. Item 8B, discussion and possible action on personnel policies manual revisions. We received the personnel policies, and it was highlighted in the areas where there were changes. I don't know if everybody's had an opportunity to read it from cover to cover. I only say that because if you haven't been able to read it, there may have been somebody that may have had a question about something else. So I'll turn it over to city manager.
And since we did go back through just to look at formatting areas, make sure the table of contents was accurate, so there were a couple of things formatting-wise that we had to make corrections to. Now we'll start with, I guess, the very first substantial change, like actual content, is on page 8 under the tobacco policy. So, and our current policy is really just a one sentence, so this is a little bit more descriptive. It actually talks about what tobacco products are, outlines that departments can designate smoking areas for their employees to use, but they need to keep the areas clean, utilize the designated disposal stations. Also talked about, you know, we still don't allow any smoking or tobacco product usage in city vehicles or in city buildings. Also talks about now utilizing those products in the line of duty, so you're not to utilize them while you're actively doing your job, and to try your very best to refrain from doing those things in public while you're wearing city uniforms, either on-premise or off-premise working site.
I've got a question.
Yes.
It says, in keeping with the City of Kirby's intent to provide a safe and healthy work environment, we're keeping them safe and healthy, but what are we going to do with the public who's using tobacco products? Because if I'm a police officer, I'm out there at the park, maintaining a thing, I've got two people standing next to me away from the pavilion and everything else per city guidelines, but they're standing there, so they're smoking. I'm a smoker, and now I've got to walk away. So, I mean, I see how it's going, but I'm also saying if we're doing it as safe and healthy, for safety and health, then we're going to have to start, unless you're sitting in your personal private vehicle with the AC running and got a recirculating system going on, that you're not going to be able to smoke anywhere in this city of Kirby.
Well, we do have a smoking ordinance that applies to the public, and so it does talk about the public areas, like in the parks, you can't smoke within a certain number of feet of the pavilion and the playground areas and softball fields and so forth. But it does also, in that current ordinance, something we looked at, say that you can use the designated smoking areas where there are receptacles. So we did, Public Works did go out and install 2 receptacles in designated areas that are within that distance away from the playground, the pavilion, and those areas. So the public can smoke in those designated areas. Because we have had that come up like during a city event. If someone reports it, they can report it to the police if someone's smoking too close to the pavilion or the playground or the fields.
And the only part that I have is, in order to uphold a high standard of conduct, employees should refrain from smoking or the use of tobacco products in public while wearing a city uniform. What are we defining public? Because I absolutely believe that nobody should be smoking in the line of duty or, you know, while they're doing their jobs. However, because we know the different departments that are in uniforms, and there could be a potential that they are laid over, they don't get to go home at a certain time, they would technically be in their uniform for a long time. So I just have a problem with the part about in public while wearing a city uniform. I absolutely agree that no one should be doing it while directing traffic, while working on a patient, what have you, while digging a trench, those kinds of things. But the piece the, just the piece about in public while wearing a city uniform, that's the part that I feel shouldn't be in there, just for the fact that the majority of our population of our employees is absolutely individuals wearing uniforms from public works. I think we determined that really admin and finance are the only ones that technically don't wear a city uniform.
But I think that they have a designated spot to go smoke at. If you're in uniform for 12 hours, you have designated spots you can go to.
But it says in public, so if those designated spots are in public, because I'm not sure where is Public Works designated spot?
Well, they don't have one now, but he could create a designated smoking area maybe behind their building or the side of their building. So I guess this part really refers to more so, let's say we were having a city activity or city event that's open to the general public, and someone was just, you're in the distance away from, let's say, the pavilion where it's okay to smoke, but you're in your city uniform at this event. Maybe you don't want to smoke in that spot, you need to go to the designated smoking area.
And that's what I'm, you know, that's what I'm saying, because even Public Works, I'm just going to use them, and even not even mention emergency personnel, but even Public Works, they were at the picnic all day long. Like, they were picking up trash, picking up after people, making sure that the bathrooms had all the necessary stuff it needed. It wasn't like they were going to get to take a break. You know, they weren't going to be able to drive the gator down to Public Works or something outside of, you know, the public eye, if you will. So that's just the piece that I have a problem with. Just the fact that it says should refrain from smoking or the use of tobacco in public while wearing a city uniform. And then it says all employees are expected to abide by this policy while at work on city premises and while working off-site.
And that piece refers to if you're, you know, at the hospital, you're doing a transport, but you're still, you know, working.
Right.
Be cognizant of that.
And that's what I'm saying. I absolutely understand the part while working in your job capacity. It's just the other piece. And I also think that, you know, if you know, this passes as is, then when we are also interviewing for potential applicants, that applicants absolutely need to know that this is in the policy before they even apply. Because I believe that the specifics of this piece while in uniform will negate a lot of people actually applying. That's just my on that part.
I think we need more time to go through this. The time that we've had allotted isn't enough for some time to go through and take a look at it. Sorry, I mean, that's like this. We're just going to take a look at it in 3 days and sign off on it. Because remember, we're the ones that ultimately make the decisions here.
Table it till our next meeting.
Or at least the last meeting that we have in
our next meeting June. Is going to be large as well, so.
Possibly the last meeting in June.
I agree with Councilman Member Pierce.
I make a motion we table this until the last meeting in June. So we can all look through it.
Not in July, since she won't be here in June.
There's a motion by Council Member Pierce for...
to table it until the last meeting in June.
Okay, so our city manager won't be here at that point, so we might want to... I just think it's important that you would be here for that. Is there anything that stipulates that it can't be further? Because I know it's usually April, May.
No, we've just been doing it that time frame the last couple of years. There's no. It is said they'll be reviewed annually.
Then do it. Well.
Our city manager's here.
We could do that. What time frame in July? First meeting, last meeting?
First.
The first one you'll be back. Last meeting.
Last meeting, we hope. Okay. All right. right. Table this until the last meeting in July.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Pierce, seconded by Councilmember Lehman, to table the personnel policy until the last meeting of July. Any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem
Aldridge? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Item 9A, request by Mayor and Council members for items to be placed on future City Council agendas and announcements on city events and community interests. Councilmember Abadaka.
Unfortunately, I wasn't here this weekend to go to the picnic and all, but I heard it was a good time. Sorry, Mr.
Yes, I do. I have several things. Number one, the trash at McRae Apartment seems to be growing again. It had for a while had disappeared.
Seems like it's moving.
And now it's kind of going back to its home again. And so when we were driving down there, walking in the park on Timothy Wilson's trail, I ran into several people, and they wanted to know about the benches, but they also thought that it would be nice to have like a memorial, and maybe somebody could buy a bench and put a memorial on the bench, and that may be a way of getting benches donated. And then packing my trailer, I called the mayor thinking maybe I was blonde, because the sign clearly says road closed on Ben Zingelman. Well, people keep popping through the sign and going straight from Alan Shepard to Buzz Aldrin to Springfield Road. And today, when I was coming out of the trailer and around, one of their dump trucks was coming down Bill Anders to my street, to Ben Zingelman, ran the stop sign, nearly hit a car because the car didn't see anybody coming, so they went through it. So I think that we're going to have a major accident. And then they have someone standing in the middle of that one block, slowing traffic down, stopping traffic. And if the roads are going to be closed, then it needs to be closed and no through traffic. And then they have signs that says detour. And so they need to decide what they're going to do with it. And I was going to thank Public Works for all the good work that they did at Hubble Fest with keeping the bathrooms cleaned, and the police department for all their work that was going around. But that was it. I just hope that while I'm gone that there's no major wrecks over there. That's all.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge.
This weekend we had a very good picnic with the fire department. The Saturday early we had our parade. It was small, but we had one. Next year will be better. I guarantee that. I want to thank everybody for coming out, staying so late with us. Thank you very much.
Well, I didn't stay down there this time, but I picked up two plates and took them home. And I have to commend everyone who did the meet this year. Did a fantastic job. I was reluctant to even buy them since I got stung for 2 years. But everyone who did it, congratulate him. He knew what he was doing. That's all.
Yeah, I'd like to see if we can get a hold of, is it Roland at CPS, about doing that solar, some type of solar lighting back there on that trail. And then the construction that we have going on, Ben Zingelman. besides what Councilmember Wilson had, I've seen them going down Happiness, catching Kirby Drive, so they can get over to Gaiety. What roads are they using, and what roads are they supposed to be on? Because now you're talking about really heavy equipment going on roads that we're not really able to start repairing again here, even with the bond that we have. I want to be able to limit them only on where they're supposed to travel.
So that brings them down Buzz Aldrin to Bill Anders to Alan Shepard.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I've caught them all over the place.
They're taking from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And then what do we need to have them set up over there too, besides what they have currently at the Gaiety? Because I've seen where they put down the white limestone rocks. I mean, Chief Alfaro knows too, when they're doing ESD out there, what type of rocks do they have going from the roadway onto that property to cut down the weight. Just saying, we need to limit them as much as possible. I just wanted to thank everybody for coming out tonight. Thank our PD, our staff here. Fire, it was awesome. Had a great picnic. And again, tell Stephen Golick, that's who cooked the brisket, yes. That's who you need to be using from now on to cook the brisket. Because I agree with Jerry, it was awesome. So if he's agreeing, I'm agreeing, he's stuck there until he leaves. Then tell him that was a request by at least two council members. Other than that, though, I appreciate everything you guys did. It was awesome. I mean, there's always going to be complaints, like in anything else. Everybody's going to complain, but it was pretty awesome. I enjoyed myself, had fun out there. I didn't do any of the testing for the barbecue plates or any of that, but it was still pretty good. So I appreciate everything you did, Charlie, and everybody else that was involved with it, too.
Yep.
That's it.
So echoing the fireman's picnic from the parade to the margarita pour-off, so I'm glad that that came back. I'm looking forward to next year for that. That was a fun time. There was a really cool contraptions with different, it was like a steel, margarita steel. So that was really interesting. I had fun judging the pork chops and chicken. I dragged Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge with me because they needed judges, so I took a friend. And thank you to the police department, public works, fire department for that event. It takes a lot of people to pull something off like that, and we have very limited volunteers, so not only for our staff that was there, but also the volunteers that were there to put that together. Happy Mother's Day to on Sunday to all the moms, and Police Week starts next week, Chief? Police Week is next week?
Police.
Right, so 15. So Police Week next week, May 19th. Donna actually was here, and she just left shortly ago. She is hitting the ground running with her still the initiative for the Little Library, for Kirby Little Library. The VFW has volunteered their building for her meetings. So she will have like a little committee meeting May 19th at 11 a.m., and that's at the VFW. So she's still looking for donations. And they're still exploring all kinds of avenues. She was able to secure a Girl Scout troop that was also doing the tricentennial boxes for San Antonio, and they offered to help with that. So she was excited about that. So those are different things. The community garden is coming along. The gardeners are starting to come back out, and now that the sun is shining, and start planting. San Antonio Pool Management will be here at our next council meeting to give us an overview of before the project, because the pool season starts May 27th. Okay. And the cleanup, thank you to Public Works for at the cleanup. They're manning that station and helping, and so thank you for that. And is there anybody else that needs anything? All right, and thank you, everybody, for coming out. Oh, I do want to read something. This was actually what Steve Lipscomb was saying, Hopkins Elementary. It says that the dedication ceremony for the 50th anniversary for that plaque is Hopkins Cafeteria, Friday, May 25th from 8:30 to 9. So if everybody wants to mark that. There is a letter for the Kirby Fire Department. Yesterday, you responded to our call for help because Connie had fallen while transferring from her power chair to her easy chair. You were prompt in your response and did a great job helping her from the floor to her chair. All the while, you were friendly and cheerful, never making her feel bad as she had already. This was the third time you have responded, and can't thank you enough for your consistently kind and helpful. So pass that on to your team. Just make sure. And again, congratulations to our Wagner Bowling. I encourage anyone who wants to recognize any group or organization within our city or our community. I think it's really important to give recognition for those, not only our community, for our police force, our emergency services, our fire department, our public works, our finance and admin. I think it's important as well to recognize our community and the efforts that our community does in giving back to our city. So I will thank you again. Have a great evening. Have a nice weekend.